Here we go. This is tailgate. No, what is this? Tailgate for cash flow for tailgate cash. Tailgate cash flow for number 28, recorded on May 12th, copyright 2010, New Grand View Incorporated, all rights reserved. And we're starting at 3:17. Starting at 3:17 p.m. 4 hours into it. The first 4 hours are the best stuff you're ever going to hear from Ion. You lost it. You weren't there. You missed it. But we'll give you this sort of after image, the soul of that first 4 hours, starting now at 3:17 p.m. Hawaii time. Go ahead. Resume whittling.
Well, I'm sure glad I took notes.
Good.
Welcome all to all the news across the living nation. How very delicious that we've had this marvelous interaction. Okay, are we all good and done now? We can go to the beach.
Ma'am.
The shortest cash flow.
Yeah, but no, go ahead. We had a question. Go ahead.
My daughters are lady.
Yeah.
Danielle. 28 and 26.
Yeah.
Both are doing well.
Yeah.
But they think, anyway.
Good. That's all that matters.
And that answers Kelly's question.
Good.
They don't talk to me. In fact, on Mother's Day, actually, my oldest one, I saw her in front of my house. And she was, what's the word I want to use? Checking. That's the only word I can use. I'm answering Kelly's question.
Now you should have finished that up with, I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was.
No, I'm better than I was. I disagree with that.
Well, we were just covering all the bases. It's all good.
I know. That's why I smoothed on over.
Good.
Anyway, the sun is shining. It's a beautiful day.
Well, talk about smooth. Switch the topic straight away. Good job.
Hey, Ion. There was a question from Kelly directed to Carol and I. What was that dynamic after her private reading? Without, I guess, violating your privacy.
Well, you've had the recorder off for 4 hours, and now you start asking salacious questions. Good luck with that, Bob.
No. Kelly asked me to ask Ion, so I'm asking, and I trust you can.
She already knows the answer.
What?
She already knows the answer.
How do you know?
Because I know that I know.
No, it had nothing to do with you, this incident.
I know that.
Oh, she wrote to you about it?
Trust me, Bob.
I ain't trust anybody. There's no way I trust you.
Well, that's why you are.
I don't even trust Ion. That barely, me and JW barely tolerate each other.
But I had to answer the question. Do we want to do that, Ion?
And what now? Say it again.
Who's this?
This is Tina.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tina.
Answer Kelly's question.
Well, maybe. Yeah.
Well, the.
You know, okay, I want to say this. Everybody gets activated or has an interesting experience after a private reading with Ion, and that's what she had.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not something to be worried about.
We know, but it's okay.
Yeah.
If you want to talk privately, then I don't. That's okay.
Not you. You can stay. We can get rid of you if you don't fire. Good, Bob.
Okay, it's okay. It's all okay. I'll tell her that.
Of course it is okay, but...
But? Yeah. Oh, there's a but there?
Well, yeah, there's a qualifier. There is a qualifier.
Okay, well, then she would do that in a private session then, I guess.
There you go. Now, thank you very, very much.
I tell her she's going to got $100. She's gonna lose $100 and get to the next part.
Well, she could do it from a private message on the blog.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, good point.
That's all right. Good. Okay, good.
Scott, you had made a mention about, you know, the analogies that you use with, you know, horse hunt and fishing and all of that. And that's, I mean, we all use analogies a lot just to be able to describe that ineffable quality thing that is indescribable or words don't cover. So analogies are really, really good.
I found working with animals is truth. There's no bullshit about it. They read your vibe. You read theirs.
Until you get in the pen with the longhorn, and there may be some defecation. But
I've been in the pen for a long, long time. So I deal with that too, and I use those tactics, and they work great.
That's right. Just as long as you know who's messing up the stalls and who's mucking them out, then you won't have any trouble.
As long as I don't have a shovel of shit, I'm fine. I've had my belly full of that.
Of course.
I had a lot of years shoveling horse shit.
This is not the place to bring it up, Scott, so can we go on to someone else?
Hey, this is Guru.
Hey, that's Guru. Yee-hoo!
Hey, Guru.
Hey, evoke another red, Guru, and get this on tape. Make something funny happen, Guru.
What do you know what, Artie? Just getting started. I heard you say you didn't take, so we just started. All right.
Yeah.
Revisiting 3-2-1.
Good.
Last week you gave me some good info. I understand everything in my that I'm creating everything.
Good.
Now I was down to one. I waited to 3 moons. I made a call on this business that I've been working on to bring that experience to my life.
And you left a message.
I did. Well, actually, they answered.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't come into my experience.
Okay. Yet.
So I'm gonna get this shit down.
Good.
I'm getting too fucking close to popping the top off this shit.
There you go.
I require.
Now, good.
What should be my next step?
Okay. Wait now. Easy. Let's do the 3-2-1 because that may help you better. Best of all. All right.
Okay.
You've done the 3-2-1. You kind of got that, but it's not exactly hitting the nail on the head for you right this second. That doesn't mean it won't. It just means that you're still aligning with it. The separation or the distance between you and you is a little bit broader than you can allow to show up in your world. But, it's a way different conversation than we had in the beginning. Now, all of a sudden, the roses are blooming. You just decide which one you want to pluck. Okay? Now, it's not anymore, is there a rose bush? It's not anymore, is there flowers on it? It's now, which one do I choose? That's the number one process of 3-2-1. Now, when you engage them after the 3 moons, you had a conversation, all right? Now, there's a reason that they didn't exactly just go, well, of course, we've been waiting all of our lives for you.
Okay.
And that's the dynamic. That's the dynamic that we're speaking about. You engaged, okay? Any disdain or separation, distance between you and you, they would pick up on that. That's the same way that an actor, how is it that some actors get all the good movies? That Brendan Fraser was his only competition. He did 2 movies, and they both came out the same weekend, and he was his only competition.
See, the
directors, they're looking for the best actors. Well, the actors are looking for the best directors. How do they get them all hooked up? How is it that certain folks always get the very best roles? The same way with you, Meryl Streep. How is it that you can be an actress for so long and always be a bridesmaid and never win an Oscar? How is that possible? I mean,
how is that possible?
Well, she won't allow it in her experience. Okay? She gets to one and she says, oh, no, up next year. Nope, next year. Nope. And they make jokes and poke and play and do all these kind of crazy things. And she sits on the front row and gets there and never gets it. Always nominated, never gets it. It's almost like, well, this is just fun. I'll just do it this way. It's good. Because once I get it, then I set a standard that I've got to be judged by. But that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is your place. When they said, well, maybe we're interested, maybe not, we don't know, no thank you, you've got the wrong office, or we don't make that decision, right? Well, then,
right,
then you go,
right,
very good, thank you so much. With whom do I need to speak? Who has the power to make a decision regarding this opportunity that's being provided? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Did I get your name? Because when this is successful, I'll be sure and make notation of who got me connected and who got me through. And then the next thing they know that you're fixing to go call somebody, and they're going to call and they're going to say, I tried 27 times, and that heifer in the front said that I wasn't worthy to talk to you, and so just letting you know that I'm now doing it for the competition. Thank you very much. And you start coming to the place of taking your power, then you engage. Now, we would say, take no more action, but now you've gotten to a new place. It's just the qualifying stage. There's nothing wrong with calling back and saying, thank you so much. We spoke the other day. Now I need to know with whom I need to speak to can make a decision regarding this. Oh, well, I'm who makes the decision. Oh, well, then we'll be having a different conversation now. What time would be convenient for me to come by and see you and make an appointment and go sit down and let them look in your pearly, pearly white smile and go, wow, okay, what's going on here? You know, I don't remember what your name is, but I just must get real close to you. I've got to find out what it is that is about you that's just running my skirt tail just right over my head. I don't know what it is. Then what happens is then you'll decide and pull it back to you qualify how you want it. All that's happened is you got overrun with the bigness, and it ain't nothing but a thing. And the thing has become bigger than you. And in that process, then, what you got is the dynamic of you arriving at your pre-orchestrated destination. So you've done the first part. You took the action. Now align, relax, allow, relax and allow. When the conversation ended, did she tell you to go piss up a rope, or did she say we'll get back to you, or did you? Well, how did it end?
It ended basically like you had mentioned before, where they said they passed off the buck basically and said that they don't make that decision.
You ain't talking to the right person.
They did say the client that I was searching to be part of does not do work in that business.
Right.
Does not do specific things, but it's still to me a feeling place of it's not the right person to talk to, like you were just saying. The one who can say, oh, yeah, let's do this, you know.
That's right. And then I don't know, can you start tomorrow? That's when you know you're in the right place. When they say, great, wonderful, good. Now, what time tomorrow can you meet?
Time today?
Exactly. Are you busy this afternoon? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Tomorrow would be the earliest I'd be available kind of thing. So you call back and say, thank you so very much. Then give me who I need to speak to. Well, I don't have authority. Okay, great. Fine. I can do this. Don't worry about it. But I am going to start to top, and I'm going to go down till somebody does give you the information and say, you better get him in here fast. And once they know that you are going to be tenacious in that process, so you can't say I'm going to get to the bottom of this. You ain't even broke the wind yet.
Right.
Okay. So now you stuck your big toe in the pool and you decided that it's not too hot and it's not too cold. Now you can jump in the deep end or you can go back to the steps and put 1 or 2 feet in at a time. Either way, makes no difference to us, shouldn't make any difference to you. Because it already is, the sooner they figure it out, the better for everybody concerned. When JW has something in his crawl that he's trying to work out, he'll tell them right quick. He'll say, now, here's how it's going to go. He'll tell them right up front. And the sooner everybody works that out, the better everybody's going to be. Otherwise, it's going to grind till it does. It's up to you. Please yourself. But just so you know, this is how it's going to go, and it does every single time without fail or exception. And he doesn't care. Sometimes there's been a tear or two shed, but not on his part.
Okay.
If it's not up to you, then you're screwed.
Right.
And if it is up to you, then the only reason it's not in your reality is because you hadn't allowed it. Just that simple.
No complexities, it's just I haven't allowed it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Go with it. And if it gets to be a pissing match, if it comes to it, says, well, now let me check your stock and see what it's being traded now. I understand you actually might be for sale.
Sure.
And we ain't joking.
No. Right. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to make any effort in the effort to allow. Allow just means to think. You just let the thoughts flow and think what you want to think and ignore the issue.
And then let it go. And then when you relax and then you allow and you can find out what those words really mean and do that part, the rest of it will be solved. And then it'll just be you deciding when you want it. And that's the number one process.
Yeah, Guru, when you're out playing baseball or basketball with your kids and you're having a great time and you don't even think about any of these things, that's when you're being really helped.
Okay.
Now, you call us up and say, I'm real busy and I'm all way late and I want my freedom back and I want to be able to go do what I want to do when I want to do it and I want my freedom. Don't you come back in here. We'll sign you up for Bob's de-manifestation class. Don't you do it. Many have. Money's falling out the windows. I can't keep it in. The neighbors are calling people. The money's falling out. They call me littering. Then my yard man's coming 3 times a day to pick the money up out of the yard. I'm sick of this money business. Y'all need to get these money business out of here. I burn it up, and the ashes fly around, and more money comes. I don't know what to do. I'm just crossways with this thing. I'm done. I kept buying a bigger house, and then they talk about it because I'm outside the zoning because my house is too big for the lot that I got. So I bought my neighbors out and hooked it up. Money's falling out of there, too. I'm pissed, Diana. I mean, you straighten this out right now. I've had enough. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it no more. I'm done with this money business now. And I mean right now. I want this out of here fast. Well, when we say that sounds funny, but the flip side of it is that's exactly where you are.
He always comes down to the hammer.
There ain't no easy way out.
Or in.
There's no hard way out.
Right. Hey, Khalifi.
Yes, I am.
Do the Kenny thing. That was fun. Did you like that?
The Kenny thing? Oh.
You ain't gonna do that?
Hey, Khalifia, maybe
yes, she is.
To retrieve what we lost the first 4 hours, let's go through Melchizedek again.
Okay, Melchizedek.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah,
no.
Melchizedek.
No. You won't catch us repeating God's okay. Jump and listen close to
oh,
first.
Oh, I please.
No, I thought
you was a high school girl. Give it away for free.
putting the ladies of ill repute right out of business. Oh, my great fun.
Olivia's got the lines now. We all got the lines.
Oh, I'm good at the lines. That's why I was telling Ion, give me the words. Give me the words. I'm a master with it if you give it to me.
Yeah. I got no problem with creation by default. I'll default all you want, Ion. Give it to me.
That's it. Okay. Then watch your bouncy, bouncy. Watch your bouncy, bouncy.
Oh, my bouncy, bouncy. I'm watching my bouncy, bouncy. Watch your GP. I'm always on it.
Watch your GP. It's a move.
Okay. Okay, with Melchizedek. Are we going to talk about Melchizedek?
Yeah, go ahead. Do it again or start it new.
Okay.
Where did he come from? Where did Melchizedek come from?
No, he didn't have a, Ion said that he was like in the tribes that goes to Moab and Cush and all that type of stuff.
He didn't have a mama and he didn't have a papa.
He didn't have a daddy, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was an ascended one. And
still is.
And still is. Okay.
Ascended or ascended?
Ascended.
Ascended, yeah. So Melchizedek, according to the Bible, Abraham went to him, and he paid tithe to Melchizedek. Did Melchizedek require that of Abraham? And how did that, transpire at that? What did he tell
him? Right. Now, now you're going to go to a new place, because you didn't ask that before, so this may be better yet. Abraham went to him, and was because of the burnt offerings and the sacrifices that Abraham was judged by. He went to Melchizedek to offer. It wasn't asked of him, it was offered. And that offering, you see, then of course you know how the story goes. It kind of gets all, that's what they use to base all of 10% and tithing and sowing and reaping. Now we believe in all that, but you can't be a giver until you got something to give.
Exactly.
That's the difference. That you can't be a giver until you got something to give. So this dynamic, and then Melchizedek came in here and set the standard, and received it, received the offering. And then what did Melchizedek do then after the offering was received?
He then blessed Abraham, and then didn't Abraham receive more than what he had before,
Yes, because of the process of making room. It's making room. All right, Guru.
Yep, I'm here.
Now, this story that's just going getting laid out is a great dynamic. You're making room for more. You've made your sacrifice. You've made your offering. Now, that makes room for your blessing. Blessing, and that blessing then finds you. What did Abraham have to do to receive the blessing? All he had to do is allow it. He didn't expect it. He didn't require it. From a free and genuine heart, he offered, and it was well received. So shall it be with you.
Okay. He didn't expect it. He didn't require it. He just allowed it.
He received it.
Just received it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And his participation was willing. See, it wasn't a requirement. And that's where the dogma of the church gets it all crossed up. You're less than if you don't.
Right.
That's the trouble. But then they sang about it in that same church that we'll soon be done with troubles and trials. So, which way you want it.
Right.
Hey, I had a thought. Since there is this period before the fall, it's like Melchizedek was a representative in the transition to the post-fall area.
Yes.
He was of the God reality that everybody had before the fall. He was the last after-image of the previous situation.
From the land of Moabite.
Is that where he was? That's where he shows up?
No, that's where his culture brought him from, or to.
Right, the Moabites are pre-fall. They brought him in. it's like the Mayans, you know, they leaped into a black hole. The Moabs are unique because they brought something from the pre-fall condition.
Okay.
Melchizedek, right?
So that means a whole lot of the people of that era, if that, I mean, if, okay, did many people of the tribe of Moab follow or have the same type of mindset or ascendedness that Melchizedek had?
We already said yes.
Okay.
So the okay, before the fall, there's all the interaction between the worlds and everybody's living forever and all this stuff. And
yeah.
So what's
still are. Wait a minute, you still are.
Right, we're still are. So Mel, where was he particularly from?
Mel. Just my grit, mail.
Email.
No, we're talking about a show called Alice, where they would keep mail was the chef at the diner. Mail.
Yeah. And, so where did Mel come from? Where was he from when he was before the fall?
That was in Chicago.
He was from Chicago.
No, Mel.
Oh, yeah, no, Alice, right. Okay, Melchizedek. Mel, kiss your dick. Mel, kiss your dick.
Oh, my God.
We're going to the we're going to the adult part of the program now.
Yeah.
We're going porno.
Bob, I hope this part is being taped.
Yeah, it is. Yes. We're going to get this stuff on tape. Mel, kiss your dick. Where did Melchizedek come from? What other world or situation? He sounds like a unique character.
No, not so much. He came from, as we said earlier, from another world.
Which was not odd in the pre-fall condition that
That's
we have
correct.
Right now.
That is exactly correct. And followed the true Moabite dynasty.
Oh, were the Moabites living in the pre-fall?
Yeah.
Anybody else? Everybody was living.
What does Melchizedek name mean again? Because I didn't want to act. I wanted that on tape.
Oh, we did that. It means one. No, wait now. We did.
Yeah, I wrote it down.
Okay, right, there we go. That's the gossip. That's in the gossip column. You go take it.
Yeah,
so you can't remember, Ion?
We got to get it from what you got.
Right. It's like Ion is responding to the moment. He often can't remember. I ask him to repeat. He won't. Can't do it. It's like
Let Carolyn ask him. Then we can do it paragraph after paragraph.
Oh, yeah. Let's get Carolyn in here. She can get anything out of
him. Yeah.
Ion's always sucking up to Carolyn for some reason.
Well, exactly. We got it.
Go ahead, Kel.
No, Tina's got it.
Oh, maybe Kel's not even here.
I'm getting to the note. I must just.
That's my Jake. I hear my Jake.
He doesn't usually bark, does he?
Yeah, where have you been, Bob?
Oh, no, I'm talking about Ion's Jake.
This is Tina Jake.
Hey, Carolyn, you don't want to go on?
SJW.
Right. You don't... Well, if you asked Ion to give you the name of the meaning of Melchizedek, he'd do anything for you, Connie. Come on, Connie. Come on, play. No, she's like, I ain't myself for no little old no.
Well, I take it back. I didn't write it down.
You can't remember it for me, Ion.
You're less than Khalifa.
Well, now let's go at it.
You can't remember it for me.
Please, Khalifa.
Here we go. Let's go at it from a new place.
Yeah.
If you're having a receiving issue, ask the question maybe a different way. Maybe that'll help, because then it can flow. And you may
what name did Melchizedek prefer to have, and he was stuck with his stupid name all his life?
King of Kings.
We're not sure where we're going. We don't know where we're going with this. Doesn't matter. I'm good at getting us into places we didn't know we were going.
Okay.
Yeah, you are. Solomon is what he wanted to do. Wanted to show the aura that he was better than Solomon. And that was his ego talking.
You mean Solomon was before Melchizedek?
No.
No, he wasn't. But
no, Solomon wasn't before Melchizedek.
There is no before, there is no after.
Exactly, okay.
So he knew, he saw King Solomon on the horizon, and he said, well, I'm going to whip that guy.
He did not, he wanted to be, as it's wrote in the Bible.
Oh my gosh.
That Jesus was a minister under him.
Under the order of Melchizedek, yeah.
Khalifia?
Yes.
Melchizedek means one.
What would you say? You clicked out.
One
acceptance.
One acceptance, okay.
Very good. Very good.
You know, with this piece of paper, which was something that I printed out about Manasseh off the internet. And so I jotted what y'all were talking about earlier, and it fell out of my folder and went under the sofa I was sitting on. That's where I just found it. So I don't know.
So it knew what was going to come, you know, a few hours later. Created a little drama, you created that.
I had to get down on my hands and knees and reach under the sofa to grab the piece of paper out.
That's an interesting action. Like, that action happened. Ion, what are the dynamics of that piece of paper falling out? Because it's Tina's own mind setting up the drama for 3 hours later?
No, I hide things. That's the dynamic.
Ion, are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's there.
And most of
it kind of falls in line with stuff being put away and then coming back later. In my own dynamic,
yes,
and it's happening much, much faster these days.
Well,
like
good.
Within hours.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Fine, sir, I have a question for you.
All right.
Direct. If I send you my logo, would you please finish it up?
Hell no.
They can't create.
It's not his job.
He can't create, Scott. Uh-huh.
I didn't ask him create. I just said finish it up. As far as what his knowing is to perfect.
All right. Okay. Wait. We don't have to run nowhere. You got your basic background. Okay. You got your insignia. Why do you have it encircled?
Because it's eternity.
Well, how does that work for you?
Inside of that, which is the strongest that we know of.
All right, then flip it over.
And then they're printing stuff.
A circle is limiting. That's not eternal.
Flip it over and turn it into a pyramid pointing up and a pyramid pointing down. Okay? And drop that circle business, unless you'd like to do that with color for a perspective. Sheila.
Yes, darling.
Give him some colors that are good for his logo.
Blue, like a sky blue?
Just say gray, Sheila. Just say gray.
No. She's got it blue, azure blue. And what's that persimmon color that you love so?
Yeah, that's a great color. It's very powerful.
Can you make any of those colors?
Okay. Do it on your...
You could do that. It can be done.
Okay. So then, and get rid of that circle unless you do it through a splotch of color behind it. So it becomes simple, but it's not so defining.
Well, I wanted a splotch of color behind it. I just, because the way it is right now is in the wannabe 14 karat gold and with a white background. And it's something it's almost just right. It's just a couple degrees off.
Well, except for that circle and except for the triangles pointing into each other. and except for your color schematic. It's perfect.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate it.
I have a...
Hey, hold on just a second. No, just a minute. Is that Renee? Hey, Sheila, you've been listening to Ion for a long time. The 4 hours we just didn't get taped, wasn't that pretty awesome, those 4 hours?
Well, I was away for an hour and a half having dinner with my friends, so I missed an hour and a half.
Well, the part you heard, what'd you think?
Yeah, it was great. And I was actually wondering if you guys ever got to the pineal gland, or the pineal gland.
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't. We saved it.
Yeah, I knew I had to ask Sheila something.
Well, we had to wait till you got done, and we called you back, so it's all
good. Oh, Sheila, the artist, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I tell you what, I'm going to take a shot of this, and I'm going to send it to you, Ion, and you send it to wherever you feel appropriate. I mean, it's nothing.
Ion won't get it. And where are you going to send it to? Are you going to send it to what email address?
Whatever I sent to before.
Well, I guess it's Ion at howionic.com.
You got it before, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I don't get emails from you. You're not connected. Somehow I'm not getting anything from you.
I've been going through the Ion info.
What does your email say? What would I see? You know, your name. What would it say? Would it say ASA Scott or some wacky...
It'll probably say Creation 00.
Oh, that did come through maybe once.
Yeah, yes, it did. I already got
Ion intercepted because it was his to deal with. You didn't have to deal with the bug.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I did that on purpose. It was for 2000, and I had a whole family there, and we had 30 seconds. We made a decision, and that was it.
Yeah.
So, kiss my ass if you don't like it.
No, that's not what the laughing was about. The laughing was about that Bob didn't get it, but Ion got it, because Ion responded to you,
yeah.
And so did Bob was just out of the loop with all of that.
I gave me the email, you know, weeks ago, and you told me to send it, and I sent something to you, but I never heard back. I don't recall that.
Well, I didn't have anything to say directly, so that's why I didn't send back.
Oh, okay.
Because what you want is money. Right?
Yeah, I want all. That's all I want is money.
Well, no, that isn't all you want. I know that. But you want money. And I haven't had it in that account to send to you.
Okay. All right. So, pineal gland.
Yeah. You go, girl. You at your own point. Tear it up. Go as far as you want to go.
There was a question that was pending.
It sounds like a madhouse. Tina's just laughing in her own world.
And by the way, it's just like, you know, history. I've had my identity stolen several times. I've bought computers in Europe, in Southern California, and the East Coast. Well, kind of the East Coast. And so I'm very wary about all that stuff.
And that's why it keeps getting stolen, because you're worried and wary about it. If you forget about it and let them steal everything, you'd be cool.
Anymore. I don't care anymore. It doesn't really matter. If I came to that point, it doesn't matter. There's nothing I can do about it.
Okay.
Whatever will be, will be. But, like I said, that I don't send bad checks. I don't send bad promises. If I send it to you, it's there. So I haven't had it in that account to do that. That's safe for me. So,
good.
So be it.
All right.
No problem.
Sheila. Here we go,
problem.
Sheila.
Okay. How does one, the question was, activate the pineal gland?
Well, it's already activated, but you're talking about increase its function or synaptic nerve endings that would be affected, not affected, affected by an increased pineal flow, and that's to do within the acid. Come on, Carolyn, honey, you can clean. You got a clean up already here. We're running them all over the place. So then, in this particular, is she coming? No.
Come on, you can do it yourself. Come on.
No, we will, but. but we like this validation because then if there's any little tidbit.
Well, I know that. She'll come back and she'll give you.
No, she's here, Scott. She's here.
She's here. So, now we're talking about activation or increase the pineal gland or the output from the pineal gland. This has to do with the. First of all, why do you want it increased, Sheila?
Well, I've been led to believe that it increases your abilities in the physical and not physical, just abilities as a human.
Okay. Well,
your perception, your awareness, yeah?
Yeah, that's an okay reason. That's okay reason. Why do you want those increased? You can get so sensitive that you'll have a nervous breakdown if you want to.
Okay.
No, that's why we're asking, because we don't mind. You know, we'll play hard. We're with you. It's no wheel with us. But the reason we want to get this clear is so that you can have the onset of the whole dynamic of what the pineal gland does.
Okay.
What about she does it systemically and it grows on her? So she just grows into it.
Well, that's the long way. That's the long way around.
Well, it may be the long way, but for her right now, from what you said, she's scared. And so let her know.
No, she's not scared. She ain't, honey. Wait a minute. That's right. No. She's a lot of things. She's a lot of things, but a feared ain't one of them.
Sure.
Yeah, she's not scared. No. Actually, not at all, as a matter of fact.
She's a warrior, huh?
Carolyn.
Yeah?
In the activation or increased output from the pineal gland, what would be the recourse? What would be the outcome?
Well, that sets up a whole dynamic where you're pushing out stuff, and then it creates a feedback mechanism to push it back. So you got to be really careful when you...
That's right. You can screw up your hypothalamus till you get super, super hot and super, super cold and you get all crisscrossing. And also, not to even mention thyroid and that whole joining together of those neuron snapping, synaptic snapping nerve endings.
Sure. Come on now. Quit that. I'm sorry. I spoke out of turn. I shouldn't.
It's all right. You know it. The drawing and quartering parties later on tonight. So you know.
What were you trying to say, Scott? I was just saying, don't scare her. Allow it to grow on her.
It
will be one. Well, you're worried. You're projecting. You're saying you don't want to be scared yourself. It's just a projection.
She ain't scared. We wouldn't be going here. There ain't no fear in this girl. So, call it what you want.
It wasn't her that I felt it in?
Mm-mm.
No.
It wasn't her that I felt it in at all.
No, you felt yourself. You felt yourself. You can only feel yourself.
Just think of that. You can only feel yourself.
Hey, you get points on that, Bob.
What?
You get points.
Okay,
you're right.
I get points?
Yep.
So it's 5-4-1 now. I get 4 points for that.
You lost some on your other little... Okay, so the activation of the pineal gland, the benefit is a clarity. So why don't we take the pineal gland out of it and focus on clarity?
Yeah.
And if we do that, then the outcome will naturally increase. There's a specific acid, and I always call it what it is, and Carolyn says, no, it's something else, and we love and appreciate her, and sure. She knows, but all this different outcome of balancing and the hormonal vicissitudes of the balance of the labyrinth of your mind from a connection into the first dorsal to the hypothalamus to the pineal gland is the balancer. It's a balancer, and it's building blocks are used to do the acids in the brain, Carolyn, so they'll believe it.
Well, do you mean in the brain, you're talking neurotransmitters, but the acids that me the pineal, what's it doing, the whole melatonin business.
Melatonin, serotonin, and then the derivatives thereof, because it breaks down into other, that's why you would take synthyroid to balance an overproduction. It can have an effect on the thyroid.
Well, I wouldn't do synthyroid. I'd do armothyroid.
No, we don't. Armothyroid, if that's the case. But you don't, that's really, see, y'all see here, this is why we would never go down this path without our wonderful Dr. Dean, because the clarity that comes from that place, our little wordy words are great, but if it leads you down the primrose wrong path, that's why this is very deliciously wonderful, okay?
And I think the whole thing about the pineal that people get hooked into is they talk about it being the third eye, so that's where your clarity comes in, and that's a much better focus for it.
Yes, of course.
Sorry,
What about the counselor?
Do
you recommend that?
I don't know. I'm looking up some pineal stuff now, and they talk about it being the third eye.
Pituitary is not the third eye chakra.
Okay.
You can get snot in your pituitary, but that you can't see. Well, there you go. Good enough. And so you can get there, but it's not the cause. It's not what it is.
So the pineal is the third eye chakra.
It would be the best representation if you're going to qualify it from an energy force of chi. That would be the closest to having an effect to it. But it's not limited to it, but it would be the closest that you would notice a difference.
Okay.
So in your clarity, if you focus on your clarity, which this is just kind of silly when we're talking to you about this, because you're probably the most clear that we know, maybe besides Tina, but beyond that, you're clear. And Pammy, where's my Pammy? Pammy's clear. It's focus. Focus, focus, focus. That point of clarity you already have. You're just trying to actually, if you get down to what you're saying from your point of asking, is I've already got it. Now, how do I make best use of it?
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. So now, if that's the point, let's say if you're drawing off the quadrants of a painting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see the whole thing, but you draw it off in quadrants. Well, that clarity knows exactly how to overlay those, so it makes the picture exactly as it's to be. But you quadrant it off and take it one section at a time, mostly. Yes?
Okay. Yes.
Well, now you're saying yes, but it's...
Well, I did that with the last question I had last week with you, the sketch I did, and I drew in the fours.
Yes.
And, it was interesting. I don't normally do that. I mean, I balance things out, and I made the composition work, but I don't usually do it that way.
Well, did you find a heightened sense of clarity by doing
in
the quadrants? Well, then that's how you activate it. And therefore it is. Okay, now, in your body, let's do it this way. Your pineal gland responded to the direction that you set up. Now, if you really want to have some fun, now let's do it in nines, threes and threes. Quadrant it off into thirds. You clarify it once again.
Okay. It's not.
Now you're going,
quadrant.
Holy crap. Now that makes it hard. What are you talking about?
No, you keep her in symmetry.
Sorry?
I hear that. You keep her
again?
In symmetry. You keep her in symmetry.
Well, but you know, she does that. We just here for the fun.
Okay.
All right, so now you divide it into thirds, and that clarity is going to be increased yet again. And that's probably far enough.
Because is that thirds overall as opposed to
fourths
into quarters? Okay.
Right. So you'd have nine blocks.
And why does that increase it more? Because of the dynamic of the number?
No, because of the sections that you have to be much clearer in each block. So you're trying to increase your clarity to activate your pineal gland. Well, that'll do it. It'll have to.
Okay.
It'll have to respond in kind.
All the way around the block.
Okay.
He's right.
Then what happens is your pineal gland will respond in kind, and then your hypothalamus will actually balance even better. Not that you have an issue with any of that, but you'll get the application of it, if it just honing. It would be like sharpening a knife.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you can't start off with the fine edge. You got to get an edge and then hone it to an even sharper 10 blade edge. Or those little X-Acto knives that you like.
Yeah.
They're pretty sharp. But you don't start off swinging with those until you know what you're doing, correct?
Right.
So the clarity that you're embracing will the clarity that you're embracing would be the sharpness of the edge of an X-Acto knife, and your pineal gland will respond. There. That makes it much easier. Hey, Carolyn,
okay.
We didn't even kill nobody. Isn't that cool?
That's wonderful.
Yeah, because if that doesn't work, we were going to say go with about, 50 milligrams of strychnine, and that'll get you some clarity. And a little arsenic to make your teeth white.
Right up. I was just talking with my friends tonight, and we were talking about mercury.
Oh, we love mercury in Venus and Pluto. Uh-oh, y'all got mercury.
It was the metal mercury.
Oh, you mean like thermometer mercury. Oh,
yeah.
We like that one, too. That's good. What you want to know about mercury?
Why were we talking about it? What are the properties of it that I needed to know about, or...
Well, a lot of painters, they used to use mercury in their paints, lead and mercury and arsenic. So a lot of artists that produced amazing pictures, they did it under the neurotoxic influence of these heavy metals.
Interesting. I knew about the lead, but I didn't know about the mercury.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the cadmium.
About the vaccine.
Cadmium.
Now, you're talking about vaccines, that's thimerosal. That's a preservative that they add to the vaccines, which has mercury in it.
Yeah,
and
we work on
it. And we say, get you about a gallon of it. Yeah, smear it all over your body, and then you won't have any more issues with it.
So it's a non-threat.
If you're sectioning off a canvas, into mm-hmm. thirds, would you be doing that as horizontally, like the top of the canvas and then the middle of the canvas and then the bottom, or would you be doing it like with a triangle in the middle and creating?
No. It would be done like a tic-tac-toe board. It would be like a tic-tac-toe board with nine squares.
So it's both horizontal and vertical.
Yeah, because she's a lover of symmetry anyway.
Mm-hmm. Sheila, when are you going to be in California so I can know when the earthquake is supposed to be?
Sheila, I want one of your paintings.
Okay.
I do. I want one of your paintings.
Sign on C.
And just put the... Well, Scott, that's money, Scott.
That's
talking big money. I don't mind paying for art. I've never... That's a physical, tangible thing that's easier for me to metabolize, so to speak.
Well,
yeah. I hope you can afford Sheila.
Well, if he didn't come back to us, he'd pay her.
Well,
so that's no problem.
Yeah, it does not an issue.
That's right.
She know the right thing to send at the right time, and and she even sent a pre-notice. This is what it costs, and so she gets paid first.
Cool.
Of course.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, of course. That's exactly right.
I know that Sheila starts at half a million. I know she starts at half a million. Oh, you lie like a brick.
are you my agent now?
Sheila, my comrade Sheila. Get hip here, Sheila. Come on.
I've never seen your work. I've heard you talk.
Sheila,
and
you idiot.
What I know is I will see your essence in your work.
Get to the essence of her work, then if you can, in her work, you'll be able to count the eyelashes.
Well, that isn't what I'm specifically meaning, but if that's what it is, a transference of essence.
Yeah, okay, cool.
If it's done correctly, is that right?
Sure.
Isn't that what masters do?
Well,
Ion?
Well, we're following a dictionary here. Essence is non-physical. Non-physical doesn't create. So it wouldn't be her essence unless she's merged her non-physical with her physical. Thank you, Mike Clayton.
Let me state this in a different way.
Well, she has.
Right. Her energy that goes within that, her highest and best. Isn't that what would be
transferred? Or her lowest and worst would be the best that you could expect, and that'll do you fine.
If that's what she called, sure.
Right. Her lowest and best will extend what most folks are able to gather.
Can I trust her?
Yeah. Good.
Of course
you already do.
I know that.
Yeah.
That's why I said I want one of her paintings.
Great. No problem.
So, Sheila, okay? You're good for that?
Yeah. Good.
Okay.
Good. Okay, now.
Sure.
Now, in this process that we've got the clarity regarding, the clarity sets up that increased output of the serotonin from the pineal gland.
That is what it's about. Not for me, anyway.
Increased output of the serotonin from where?
From the pineal gland.
Okay.
Will support your new level or degree of clarity that you're engaging from the point of connection, meaning you see it, you think it, you see it in your mind's eye, and that's how you paint it. Well, that's as much clear as clarity gets, but now you're wanting an increase in the clarity. So that's the process that you do, and that's what actually physically happens, because the whole question about bringing it over into tailgate was a clear, defining way to discuss how the pineal gland affects and effects with the hypothalamus, with the thyroid, and that whole bundle
of stuff.
Okay, go on.
From connecting through the first dorsal.
Can you explain the first dorsal?
Yeah, that's the line of your spine, your spinal cord, where all the nerve endings are encased. It's that point of connection. So if you poke your finger and it hurts, you feel it. Well, that feeling place, that nerve ending, would run through your trunk to your spinal cord through and end up into your first dorsal, which is where the cranium sits or attaches to your meat sac.
Okay.
Right, and it goes to the pain center in the brain, right?
Correct. If all the nerve endings are intact.
I was listening.
If all the nerve endings are intact. But see, some people get neuropathy where they have a breakdown of that connective process, so they would have not as much feeling or a lessened sense of feeling.
Well, what about those people that have more?
Well, that's a hypersensitivity, and then you wouldn't want to increase or super...
Be a painter or artist or whatever?
Well, you could, but you certainly could, but if you came to that place, then it would be a Pollock painter, if you were a hypersensitive.
Explain a Pollock.
So taking great big gallons of paint and flopping it all over the place and getting buck naked.
It's fun. You ever done it? That's a blast.
Well, then it's a high percentage of it. And
that's a blast.
There you go. And get buck naked and get paint in places you didn't.
Oh, yeah. Painting naked's fun.
Yeah. Good.
It is. It's fun.
I've actually never done that.
You haven't. My goodness.
Not entirely. No.
Come to my house and I'll show you how. It's fun. It is.
I believe you.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter what your project is. Go ahead.
It's best to step down.
a sort of a cascade effect between the kingdoms?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's also now for you, that's going to be different because for you, you don't have that. You have the other side of the issue of grounding. So it would be the opposite side. It would be to kind of almost slow all that down for you. Because it's all about the grounding. Now, Sheila won't ground, okay?
Why?
She just doesn't ground.
She don't ground?
No. She won't
have to. Come visit me. I live by really old redwoods. Really old. That you won't ground. I'm not asking you to buy you or keep you or anything like that. I'm just saying that, if you want to ground, this is the place to come. So how old are these redwoods, Ion? How old are these trees? How old are these trees, Ion?
How old are these trees? Well, since there's no time, let's see. They'll be planted next Tuesday.
That's right. And that was...
Okay, so now, Sheila, where we were is...
Yeah.
You guys, where that place is and that works for you. Okay, Tina. Now you come into the place for you, it's the opposite. You're grounding, wanting to be more grounded. Okay? It's just the opposite. And that's why it's become a very, very wonderful, delicious place for you as all these things are unfolding for you individually. Because what that does is it reminds you of your connection to this place or taking control of your realm. For you, that requires grounding, which is the, because do you see the crossness of it? Yours is the opposite. It would be, you're very, 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 very super clear, and you're not trying to decrease that, but you don't want to undo your good place of grounding.
Hell no.
Okay.
Got it.
One more time. Wanting to be more grounded.
Tell her it's okay to come here. She's safe. And
remind
me of
this.
And I'm serious about what I said about you, too. And what I said about Bob. Please,
yeah, we got it, baby. It's all right. Tina, you were saying about grounding.
Wanting to be more grounded. Or wanting to be more grounded. As these things are unfolding for me, which is what is reminding me of this place.
Yes. Yes. Good, good, good. That's right. So when you stand up, you have better feeling places because at that point it brings for you a place of grounding. You see? Whereas you're very, very, very clear, so your place of better feeling is in a grounded position. Where Sheila is just the opposite. She would unground, and it's just diametrically opposite, which isn't a bad thing. It's just different. Because we're talking about the pineal gland itself and that application.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's why on the side, if you were doing it and you were painting, which you know about, if you were painting, we'd say have no quadrants, make the entire canvas your quadrant. Whereas for Sheila, we're now putting it into 9 quadrants. Okay? And that split is the differential that we're trying to get to about the same, because they're very, 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 very identical, but very, very different from the point of grounding and ungrounding.
Yeah, Tina. Let me say it. Tina's arriving and Sheila's leaving.
Well, okay, that's an okay way to do that. Yeah.
You're right. With everything that you said, Ion.
Okay, would you rather be happy?
Which is a good thing. I mean, I suppose my flipulous stuff comes up, but you're right.
when you tell him
about that. About what, Scott? What's he right about?
About how to deal with what she has to deal with.
You mean Sheila?
Yes.
Yeah, good. That's great. So that makes it easy. Okay, anybody else need a turn?
Hey, let's have a roll call. Is Guru here? Is Renee here? Is B here?
Guru's here.
Is B still here? No. Margarita's not here.
No, I'm here.
Oh, good. You're being quiet. Okay. Margarita?
I've just been listening.
Good. Is there someone we haven't named? A new person?
Yeah, Miami.
Miami's here.
Well, Miami, it was about time we've been using your name in vain all evening.
Yeah, you've been a major topic, but it wasn't. The tape recording didn't work, so you're safe.
It was a great 4 hours.
Yeah, good. Okay, you were there. So, is there anybody else new who's here?
Ed's here.
Oh, Ed, how long have you been here?
Down on the farm. Well, how wonderful.
Yeah. Well, we should have a report, a shop report from Ed. Have you been here for much, Ed?
I missed the first hour because I had a phone call, and that's the one I wanted to hear about the portals and going to the other world. Who was that, Chad?
Yeah, Chad and Angela. But that might have been, you might have got that, that's in the second hour, isn't it?
No, first.
Okay.
No, I'll try.
Anyways, you heard two or three hours of the unrecorded, which is good. So, Ed, give us a report. What's happened to Information Farm since last week, I guess?
Well, as Ion said, it's going crazy. You know, people just want to come there and hear you talk some more. And I was just bringing all kinds of more stars, lighting up, saying, oh, my, we love Bob. James.
Oh, don't talk in that.
Yeah, don't be saying that. I can't control that imagination. But Ed, why don't you forward emails you get about Ion and me and James or whatever?
Okay, I'll be glad to.
Yeah, all the ones you've been getting for a while. And the, had you any thoughts? I mean, that Boward thing was pretty remarkable. And we like the way you're taking excerpts from Tailgate and featuring them as little topics. Those are nice. You know, on the
good,
site.
I'm glad you liked it. Now, that we got quite a bit of feedback about because, you know, a lot of times people won't go into the full program or especially tailgates, but they do like that little hidden slip of the day, and especially the Dow is down 1,000 points.
Right.
Hey, Galicia, she crashed.
You're the man from Hawaii, huh? Here's a radio station that's been watching. Is that correct?
We're one of the ones from Hawaii, yeah.
What's one of the... I didn't get what you're saying. What about Hawaii?
We're not the Hawaii, but we're one of the ones from Hawaii.
What's your call letters?
No call letters. We're everywhere.
How would I touch you if I wish to touch you?
You have to go to... Just Google Information Farm.
Information Farm. Okay.
So, Ed, anything else you want to say about it, the experience with Ion in the past week?
No, I think we're good.
Okay, so any other new people? Whoever came in recently, how many people did they say were here?
14.
Okay.
Hey, Bob.
Yes.
I've been trying to get a reading for about last week, getting no response back.
So a reading from me? From Ion?
Of course not from you, Bob.
No, but are you saying you've been emailing me?
No, I went to the Hal Ionic and shot an email saying I wanted a reading.
Oh, you mean from the account thing, the account button.
Yeah, it says, say what you want and comment. So I sent that off like 2 times. So I sent you via your Skype, the chat, my phone number.
This is Ed talking?
No.
Oh, this is Michael.
Oh, Michael. No, Mike, I sent you an email about that. I'm pretty sure. I knew Miami was having a reading, so you didn't get anything.
No, No, it's under Wavemaker.
Yeah, yeah, I got Wavemaker. I saw that. And I thought I responded. Okay, so when are you available?
Tomorrow night.
No, time wise. It would be maybe next week. What times are you? Night? Nighttime?
Good night, everyone.
Who's that? Who's that?
Who else is it?
Is that there's Scott saying good night?
Yeah, there's only one of me. It's 7:31 here, so I need to go.
Where are you?
For a long time.
Where are you, Scott?
On the coast.
Oh, okay.
Scott, I'm in Miami. I'm not even out of here yet.
Okay, Scott, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, good night.
All right. So me and me, you could do...
Me and me,
you would like a reading during the nighttime?
Nighttime.
Any earlier?
Well, night. I'm 3 hours or 6 hours ahead of you.
Right.
Same as J.W.
Okay, so it would be a 7 o'clock reading. So I'll see. Might not be till next Thursday, but I'll send you the form.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know how to pay for it or whatever.
PayPal or credit card.
I was trying to figure that out up on the site too. But anyway, I didn't even know how to order. I was trying to order the allow thing.
Right. You just email me. I don't know what happens at the site. I know it says create an account. We don't have that.
They just pay for shit. They don't know how anything works. It's all right.
Yeah, I mean, we have create account, but I don't think it got activated. Carolyn said it wasn't activated yet. If you're playing with that, forget it. Just email Ion at howionic.com, and I get it.
Well,
I don't know what that's about. I did get a wave maker, but sorry. Well, we'll get you in.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody want to talk something?
Yeah, I have a question.
Who's this? Right. Ed. Okay.
Oh, Ion, let's ask you for a follow-up on the Fort Hood situation. You'd mentioned the Texas slogan, don't mess with Texas.
Yeah.
And then there were some transactions involved as well that were happening in Fort Hood. So could you go into that?
Yes. Well, let's do it this way. Ask a little, and we'll confine it to your things, because it's a bit voluminous.
Hey, Ion, is it still November 63 in the Fort Hood case?
Yes.
Yeah, see, it's still hot, Ed. It's very hot, and so we got to be careful, maybe. So
we can go from the place of asking. It won't be a problem at all. Go ahead.
Okay. So what did Texas have to do, what did the state of Texas have to do with the military federal fort, Fort Hood,
okay,
in this Fort Hood incident?
Okay. In the incident, that was a federal base. It was a base. So in that particular case, it really didn't have a lot to do with the Lone Star State. Okay? It didn't have much to do with that. But the dynamic of what's taking place there was a bit more significant from the way that the system is set up now. That everything is briefed and debriefed. So if it's above your pay grade, then you don't know. Okay? And if it's above your classification, then that access is not available. Well, when you have any kind of breakdown, or think about this just a second here, you have a psychiatric professional counseling soldiers in a confined base that all of a sudden goes rogue, pardon the pun, to cause all of this distraction or disturbance seems a bit outside the box, don't you concur?
Well,
Texas and that particular incident, for example, why would it happen at that base and not, say, any other one?
Okay.
Okay. So that's your pinpoint. That's your pinpoint. It's almost kind of like when they're talking about the news. If they're talking about this, that means you're supposed to be looking over there. But they want you to look here so you don't see there. But sometimes they've learned if they can sync it up and make it all be about there, then all of a sudden everybody's looking there where it's taking place, but they're not looking at what's going on. They're looking at the distraction. And in this particular case, it would be a person with a gun that runs around killing everybody on a federal base where everyone there has a gun. Oh, wait, no, they can't carry guns on a base. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, no, they don't. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, no, they don't. Well, the next thing you know, lots and lots and lots of people getting killed all of a sudden over one fellow with one pistol. Doesn't add up very quickly, does it? So some incidental occurrences obviously are afoot. Okay? Now you see how cheekily we kind of went through that, but now you can ask another question and we'll see how we go.
Okay, what were the incidental occurrences?
Man, you ain't going to get it from there, Ed. You got to develop it a little bit because it'll get too much sugar for a dime.
Okay, so there was a distraction. The psychiatrist who was shooting, what was it distracting from?
Okay. Apparently, there was a great deal of issue with debt, national debt, and how do you say, Treasury Department concern with meetings and answers to questions that were at hand at a high level of security. More than a C4. Great. So not many folks would know what the details would be.
When you said national debt, did you mean U.S. national debt?
Yes.
And what's a C4? It's not
a
communications.
A pay grade, yes.
Is there anything above ION's pay grade?
Well, we don't have a pay grade, so probably not.
Okay.
So, now you're
so
trying to...
So, why were there... So, the transactions themselves...
Yes.
The national debt situation that was happening there...
Yes.
Was there firearms involved around that, or were the firearms just a distraction from that?
The firearms, well, more people got killed than there were bullets involved, so you can do the math on that. And you start really bringing down what went on with the reports and the trajectory of some of the way this killing went on didn't happen that way. There's not enough angles to reach those unless he had magic bullets, which he probably did not.
Sorry, what were you saying?
No, we were just going into the next.
Okay, well, I don't know where to go anymore with the Fort Hood.
Okay.
So,
well, here we go. Once it calms down a little bit, there's a much larger, broader perspective that we'll give in illicit detail. But it's not even being settled and worked out. But once it's sort of old school, then we already have it. Bob already has it, every detail. But we'll go back and do it again when it's appropriate. But the recording already is.
Yeah, it go back to one of the, I think it's a Radio Alchemy, maybe in November.
right. That's where I heard it.
Oh, you did hear the Radio Alchemy. So you want more than what you heard.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to move on.
Well, I haven't told them.
Shooting.
I haven't told a lot on that and maybe subsequent Radio Alchemy, so you want to get past what we've heard. So you should...
Then we'll ask you some questions, and that's how we can do it. Okay.
Okay.
Specifically, with this incident, however egregious, there apparently was some breakdown of control within a federal base. Okay? So the question would then be, what would be the breakdown? Or if they were in a heightened sense of a security where firearms would be local on the base, where everybody's toting, okay, what would that occasion be? And if there were a guest at the base at a very, very high level, what protection details or MP from or outside sources, Secret Service or whatever, that would be added into the mix for others visiting the base itself? Okay? So then that would come back to where was... well, we can't do that, but if there are any Eagles in Texas, were they there? And if they were, what was their business there? See, it's not something, it's a big place. It's a pretty large place. So if that's what was occurring, what meeting was taking place in the great state of Texas that provided a larger dynamic, more so than any other base that might even been more convenient?
And what was going on in North Korea a few days
before? And that's correct. That would be a dynamic as well that would have a play. And then you would actually look if there were other visiting dignitaries that were well received in that same span of meeting that would cause this heightened tension within the individuals that were potentially visiting and having interaction and or meetings regarding specifics with high-level security propaganda.
Security propaganda?
Yeah.
You know, someone's going to attack us.
No. Smoke screen.
Yeah. Is that link over to North Korea? Them as someone who we're supposed to worry
we're
about.
We're asking questions. We're not answering them at this point. That's good. So another question that would come up is what was going on? Meaning, what was going on? What was the occasion that this distraction would be necessary? Who was crossed with whom to cause this type of relegated distraction? Because apparently that's not the story. Apparently that's what they had to discuss, but apparently other things were going on that had nothing to do with the story. If you add up all the bullets, you're going to find very quickly that the numbers don't work.
And the dignitaries that were visiting,
if they
were they from countries outside the United States?
Well, yeah, they wouldn't be diplomatic if they were inside the U.S. Okay. And we asked that we formed that in the form of a question. So we got to give the conspiracy theorists something to do. You see, so it's okay. So if you add up all those questions. And all of a sudden you start asking really, really, really good questions like, what was the meeting? Who was there? What were they discussing? Why was it under cover of a federal base? Why was that U.S. ground and not Texas ground? Because it's not. It's, you see. And how how did they get in, how did they get out, and how did no one notice?
Yeah, those are good questions.
They are good questions. And you start asking those, and then, now we're going to get to the good questions. Then how is it that a tribunal was issued but never carried out? Are they saying that the psychiatrist was mentally incompetent? Well, that doesn't say much for how they're handling their officers within a federal base, does it?
Exactly.
Okay, now if you ask that, now you got to ask another question. It's kind of like, well, now wait a second. There aren't many of those psychiatrists for the vast, voluminous number of soldiers. And we love and appreciate all the soldiers now. We like somebody that's got some fight in them. We have no problem with that. We love and appreciate them, every one. It's fine. It provides much of the contrast that gets this whole world kicking and rolling and screaming all day, every day anyway. We love them all. Appreciate them immensely. But if you get down to the place of what was the story that would cause this type of interaction, then there's many more questions than we've given as answers so far. So now, if you start looking at who was present, how many Eagles were there, if there were any, and why it would cause for such a heavy cover, to cause such a distraction is quite an anomaly in and of itself. And what was removed and what was brought and why. And where the final...
That's a very good question.
And where those things were removed to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And why they didn't use a freight forwarder to move those things around.
Did those things go to another country?
Apparently, that's the question. Good. Okay. Then another question. Boy, this is great. There's just lots of questions. And what did the world markets do immediately after this egregious malady of insurrection? Well, you might check the Chicago Mercantile for that day. You might check your down at the wall. You might see what they thought about it. And then you might check the Hang Seng and see what they thought about it. Khaleesi might check the Forex on that day, too.
Well,
might check the Forex that day too.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, darling.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had this on the other phone. Okay.
You are right.
Forex or on what?
On the incident, on the day of the incident of Fort Hood.
Okay, and what day was that?
Oh, we have no time. We don't know. Ed, when was all that?
Ed, when was that?
I don't know either. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, well, we do.
Or Google Fort Hood incident.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now, then all of a sudden you start having shiny appearances going on.
Oh?
Well, oh, we love that. You get our first. Oh.
That wasn't reported.
Ah, there you go. Now you make it come there, okay. And then you might notice an issue with the yuan specifically. That doesn't get reported so much since it got thrown out of the basket of pegging.
And did you say yuan?
Yeah.
What's the yuan?
It is a dollar, a type of
It's a gold. Gold. Dollar.
Gold, Okay. Thank you.
Good, good, good. See? See, she's getting, see? That's good. Those dollars.
I know her lies. Eyes light up when you say go.
That's correct. Okay. Now, we've asked a whole lots of questions and pretty much sort of painted a picture. Now, there is more that we would like to engage more clearly, but that may, those questions alone may give you enough to start having a formulary of what it is, of what is. Now, we're not going to leave it hanging, because law, them conspiracy folks, they blow their brains out. No, we can't leave it like that. We got to clean up on aisle five, Carolyn. We got to clean this up. Here's the good news. The good news out of that whole process. Now, yeah, they had a little blood, but so did all them early Hebrews, and it wasn't that big a deal. They're eternal. It's not a problem. It's going to be all right. Here's the good news. The good news is that little tiny bit of contrast will go down in history as the turning point. The turning point. It's the thing that'll put the teeth in the dragon. The good news is that little bitty contrast in this marvelous place that y'all call the United States. Well, we liked it better when the United States were are instead of the United States is. But now we're just privy to that inside information, and that's why it's a Lone Star State. And we love you, Margarita. You hang in there, girl. You all right. Because of this particular dynamic will become in history, if they don't change it. They got a bad way of changing history, rewriting it to suit them and things. But they won't get past this little part because it's done been squirted like the paint out of the tube. It's done been squirted in several different places. So those colors will keep showing up and keep showing up and keep showing up. And then that becomes a very interesting connect the dots program of a bit of contrast that will be a singularity. A singularity. And within that singularity, much bliss will be wrought. Now, we didn't say it wouldn't have a contrasting experience, but then that's where you find bliss more often than not, is through a little bit of contrast. You say, you bump your big old toe and it hurts. Well, that brings appreciation that you've got a big toe that you can feel. Because if you couldn't feel it, you'd knock it slap off and wouldn't even know you missed it. Okay? So this, like that type of Bob would call this tactility, and the absence of any quadraphenic expression of what really went on and what went on, will be what are those things that fly around? They call them an albatross. It'll come back to a place where you go, aha. So that's what that was about. But it's going to take a little bit because they're still digesting, you see. They don't know if it's going to. But now just remember, Ed, here's the thing. Indigestion is better than no digestion at all.
Okay.
Just a side thing.
They're still in the process of digestion.
Forex market fell down 200-300 points. Wait, one day it went down to 200, and then the next day it went down 300.
Is that November?
In November, November 9th.
Yeah, just day. Before. Hey, Mia, are you still here? I have Mia down for a Friday reading at 7 p.m. your time. So I have actually booked you in. I had a question mark because I guess didn't hear back, so I'll email you the stuff, but you don't have to wait till next Thursday. In 2 days at 7 p.m. your time. Okay, back to Califia.
That was for Ion.
Yeah, that was for Ed.
That was for Ed, yeah.
Okay, Ed, and
how significant, Califia, how significant a drop is that, 200 or 300?
That's a huge
points?
Drop. That's huge on the Forex market. That's a bloodbath.
Now we're kind of bumping on it.
Hey, just to say this, November 9th, 20th anniversary of the Berlin Wall going down in Germany. November 9th, 1989.
Dana, you had a question?
No, I mean, does it relate to the Germany? What about the German? Is there a German factor there? Did they do this on that date on purpose?
We did not mention Stuttgart at all.
Okay. Go ahead, Gleeb.
I was just commenting that someone else with We're Perfect working. Referring to Ecclesia saying that the stock market drop was a bloodbath.
Mm-hmm.
The day of the bloodbath.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, what did Mr. Dow Jones think of that?
Well, if the Forex market moved down like this, I know it was a very, very bad day for the Dow Jones.
Mm-hmm. Well, so it would have had a potential effect on treasuries?
Yes.
Oh, so treasuries then must be significant. That's interesting, Ed. You might look at what the 10-year note moved.
Mm-hmm.
If you were interested, it might be intriguing.
So, Khalifa, are you looking at the incident on Wikipedia or something?
No, she has.
No, I'm looking at the market.
Okay.
I am a program.
But you had to look up the incident and get the day.
Yeah, it was November 9th.
Okay, so what time of day and what time is in Wall Street when they hear about it? I can't get to my computer.
Okay.
Well, as she told you, it may not help you, Bob, but it's all right.
It happened around... Gosh, I think it was around 11, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe. And then
Texas time.
Yeah, so that's one or two hours from Wall Street. So they could still react later in the afternoon.
Well, see, they did.
Right.
The Forex is 24 hours. So it had like a 200-point drop that day. And then the next day, well, see, it's gold carries on to the next day, so the news is still fresh. So then it went down a solid 300 points.
So 500 points.
Yeah.
Do you remember where you were that day, Khalifa? That dark day.
I don't remember what I was doing.
Now, just because you have a big bloodbath doesn't mean that it's a dark day. That could be the light at the end of the tunnel, if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, especially at the Forex market. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You go, girl. Now, does that help you out there a little bit, Ed?
Very much. Can I ask you a question on another topic?
Why, you sure can.
This kind of goes back to that earlier hour, and maybe Bob can help us out on this because he mentioned this. We were talking about the shadow in the portal, if I recall.
Yeah, Angela was talking about the shadows, and we determined she meant the rift, which is like the corridor between worlds.
Well, but then this particular inference is about two castles. They're in a castle. Now, first of all, the better question is how do these human creators find themselves in a castle? Okay, that's the better story. But they are. And then they're noticing that this special portal activation process gives them great access within this big room, the banquet hall of this castle where they are. That different doors go to different parallel worlds. Okay. Now what she's seeing is another castle across the path. And she was asking, could she walk there, or could they go from the castle they're in to that identical castle that she has the ability to see? And the difference was that she was noticing the shadow off the castle that was in the parallel world. And, of course, we cleaned that up immediately because the shadow would be what you know as the rift. The rift, that break in the continuum, because that has nothing to do with time. But it is a rift. Now, we then, of course, cleaned that up immediately, that you didn't have to go on the path to go to the other castle, that you could adjust that castle experience from the one with the shadow to the one that you're in now, and when you engaged it from that digression, but that's the wrong word, from this dichotomy of changing where you are geographically from one capsule to the other without having to walk on the path, you would validate that because the light in the capsule you're in, if you changed capsules by going through a different door, that same rift or shadow would be opposing in the secondary capsule. Meaning, if it's the morning time, the sun still rises in the east, okay? And you change to another capsule, you'd look and the sun may be in the west based on where you see the shadow of this rift. So the shift, you will notice it as an anomaly. You will notice it as an anomaly. And that's as easy as waking up, not very difficult. Now, I didn't say getting up. Getting up's difficult, but waking up's not a big deal. So it's as easy as waking up.
Hi, it's Carolyn. How would that dynamic differ from looking for the shiny places?
None at all. We were just cleaning up Ed's position of asking about the shadow or the rift that was being presented as a little bit of a new topic. But see, what she was noticing, the shadow, she wasn't seeing, it was a shadow or a rift, but the actuality that you're bringing up, which is perfect, was that castle was more illuminated than the one that they were in, so much so that it basically caused a shadow.
Okay.
So, spot on, that's perfect, but see, they weren't talking about the light switch, they were talking about the dark switch.
And why did the shadow seem to take their attention?
Yes, because Angela was able to see it, and the only differential she could pose from the one she was in to the one she was looking at was that it had this riff or shadow casting off of it. So that's what was her high sign, that it was an anomaly. Okay, and in that anomaly, then that got her attention that was another castle, just like the one they were in, but yet from another world, or it wouldn't be casting this odd shadow opposite the one that she was actually already in.
Very good.
Did that help or hurt?
No, it's good. It's good.
Did that help, Ed, or did it make you want to go blow your brains out?
Absolutely not. It's a great help. And in this particular case, was this shadow in this case, was it a corridor? Did they walk along through the shadow to get to the other castle?
They certainly could, but we clean that up because, see, that would require action. And we're not big on action. We think it all should be done in a thought process. So we made it easy. Now, ours included or precluded an action as well, but ours was easy because it was just walk through a door from the great hall, and you could be in that other castle without having to find your way on this path, you see. Wow. It's as easy as opening and shutting a door, and you're there. And then you could look out from where your new there is and look back across and see the other castle where you were.
So could you tell me if I've had a similar experience, but I don't remember it?
Well, many do, yes. You were in Seattle, Washington one time that you had that very deja vu-y experience.
Oh. It's true, I was in Seattle, Washington.
Yeah, and it was hot.
What event in Seattle was this? Was it the airport, or was I visiting someone?
Yes, but it started when you landed. And then it kind of was just odd all the way through. With the gate changes and all that other craziness coming back, it seemed to be more protracted coming back than it did going.
Okay.
And
now, I remember one time when I was in Seattle, there was one of these delays, and actually we couldn't get out because of the weather.
Right.
and right. You had the bus down to Portland.
Right.
Was that the particular time?
That's the one.
Now, what about on Maui excuse me?
You couldn't get there from now.
Yes.
Good.
And you know, that happened one time on Maui, too. Was that?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. But now, Dr. Dean can, she's the queen of that airport. I think she's the key holder of those portals and gates.
Yeah, I almost miss traveling now. I used to travel a lot and have such fun in airports and everything. And now I don't travel hardly at all, and I miss it. I miss the portaling. It just seems to come. I think I was telling Sheila this the other day. It seems to come so much easier when you're traveling in airports or through the sky in airplanes.
Yeah, it makes it simple. It takes the heat off. It takes the pressure off of having to do an action when you can just go with it. You know, it's no problem. But many of the folks that we've had engagement with that are in that industry, they actually take it as pretty normal. They've done it so much that it's actually pretty normal for them. Okay, what else? Did Bob push the button? No, apparently not.
I'm here.
Are we going to the beach tonight, Bob?
I think so. Ed, are you there? Maybe we lost him. Because you came on, Carol.
No, it was not. Leave my money alone.
Okay, so I do a flash and call in again. All right?
Yeah.
Isn't it time to...
Yeah, we gotta say goodbye. We'll see.
So I did knock it out.
Yeah. Okay, I'll put you on hold.
Welcome. This service is provided by FreeConferenceCall.com. Please enter your access code followed by the pound sign. You entered 119769. If this is correct, press 1. To enter your there are 8 participants in this conference.
Might have to log off and then come back.
Hello.
Then it brings into the same dichotomy when you're struggling with airport,
wow.
Airport reality. You can go and come instantaneously. There's no wait. You can slip out and slip right back in and not miss a beat.
Hello?
Just like that.
Isn't that right
just
on
like
time,
that.
Everyone?
Yeah.
Just
wow.
Like that.
We were gone for a nice solid, what, 3-4 minutes?
Well, we got it on tape. What I understand, we got on tape, so you can hear it,
okay.
What you missed.
Were you there? Were you with us, Bob? We didn't hear you.
Yeah, we were, I was talking, I guess, about 3-4 minutes ago, you weren't talking, but I thought you were listening to Ed, and then Ion finished, and it was dead silent, so we waited for someone to speak. We said, hey, Ed, you there? No. Then we realized you weren't there, and we had gone away someplace.
Yeah, Connie gave you all the secrets. She gave you all the secrets to the Maui airport. It's great fun.
I started to say, Bob,
aren't we going to the beach? And I think that's when it cut off because I'm ready for the beach.
Well, is it? Did we slip into a chip body parallel?
Yes.
So there's chip portaling here?
Well, that's what Ed wanted proof of, so we thought at least we could do is have a brethren.
We did it right there.
Well, I guess I didn't go along this time because my phone disconnected during all of this. I just came back in.
Right. Oh, so that's normal for Tina, though. Tina does that more than not. So
well, and I just
it's usually me that gets disconnected out of the call, and now right. You all, I don't know.
Wait, yeah, me and Ed were on the same side.
Yeah, and who else? Sheila was. Is that who was with
Guru and Sheila? I think.
That was funny. Nice train.
It's great. Okay, Mr. Ed Wilbur, what else you want?
Just looking on my list. I think we're good, Aya.
Hey, that's always good. We like that. So is it time to go places and eat things?
You know what? I got one more
about
before you jump off.
Towards Bob.
We'll get you.
Bob,
go ahead,
there?
Steve.
Yeah, I'm here.
On the forum, what's odd today is that the Vorticist Creed, whatever that word is that you posted, as well as Ionic Output when not on cash flow, are staying up at the top of the threads.
Yeah, I put a sticky on them. I put a sticky on them. That'll keep them at the top, because otherwise they just flow out. But I wanted to make them for, you know, eternally reference, you know, the list for new people.
Oh, God.
They can look at the list, and then in the vortices
let
thing.
Each other cash, right. Okay.
Yeah, and the so if you put a sticky on them, they'll stay at the top. And, you know, solid things like that that are for everybody over time, they stay there. Which I'm glad you brought that up. We didn't.
Perfect.
I wanted Ion to go in. We didn't go into that quote much on cash flow, did we? Like, okay, I'll just say, was William Blake talking about parallel worlding in that quote? With the travel through infinity as a plane?
Uh-huh.
You know the quote I'm talking about? Do you want me to read it again?
You don't have to.
Okay, what was Blake? He was talking about the vortex of heaven, the vortex of earth, and what
the nature of infinity is this, that everything has its own vortex. And see, we're okay with it. We're okay with it until they start paralleling it to the nature of infinity, which it is not. It's a great statement. We don't have a clue what it means, but if you're dropping the problem, that's why you got your Finnegan Ease right after it, because the own vortex is not the nature of infinity.
Right, so the concept of infinity.
When once a traveler through eternity has passed that vortex, now you're referencing the passing through a vortex as far as validating infinity. Well, if that ain't James Joyce, we never got it. Then he perceives it roll backward behind his path into a globe itself enfolding like the sun. So now we have infinity marking the point of the nature of infinity from the vortex that one has to then eternity mark the perception of the back and the forth. It's more validating time than it is explaining the whole process. Or, like the moon or like the universe, a starry magistry, that's right, instead of majesty, it'd be madrusty, and it keeps onward, that's linear, into a wondrous journey on earth, which now eliminates infinity. It's almost like you're in Groundhog's Day more than you are parallel worlds. Okay, and then you even come back, that it has to all do about the eyes of man viewing both the east and the west, encompassing its vortex, and then north and south, and all that starry host. So now you have a bound box that you can only gaze within the nature of infinity through the vortex for eternity, like your reference points that have tangled you up. And then you go all the way down to the sun and moon rising and the surrounding of the cornfields. Yeah, there's lots of corn liquor going on here. Within the valleys of 500-acre square. Thus, and then here's the killer, thus is the earth one infinite plane and not as apparent. Now, wait a second. To the weak traveler, confined beneath the starry moon. Do you see how this becomes Finneganese?
Yeah, and it's, I mean, William Blake's a famous nature mystic. It is exactly what happens to the nature mystic tradition once the printing press has come in.
Yes. And so a vortex not yet passed by the traveler through eternity. So therefore, the vortex now in the end doesn't connect through eternity. It brings you back to the nature of infinity, so it's all about the vortex. So it's all about the black hole and not about where the black hole goes. And so when you do that for a little while, then three quarts are for Muster Mark. Sure, he hasn't got much of a bark. And
very good.
And then there you go. And so now, Tina, that's why you got all that. And see, Tina's probably the only one on the planet that actually tried to read all that gobbledygook. But if you will point to the point to it. To get you down to the bottom, and it was just four or five words. It's not too much going on to it. And still a light moves along the river, and stiller the mermen ply their keg. Its pith is full, the way is free, their lot is cast. So to John for a John, Jonah Jims, let it be.
I think it begins. That's 403, maybe of Finnegan's Wake. The three quarks, three marks for Master Quark, whatever it is. Three quarks for Master Mark. But what I'm getting from this is McLuhan talked about the concept of infinity versus eternity came in with the printing press. This idea of your eye follows to the horizon, off into endless situation, and he also point out the Aunt Jemima pancake mix cover where you're looking at a mirror or in inside that box and inside that box. Those metaphors of spans were caused by the printing press. And so I see his emphasis on the infinite plane is exactly, he's a mystic, unconscious of the dynamics of the printing press, even though he's against the effects of the printing press.
Pretty much.
Well, that was great. Will Ben Watson hears this.
Yeah, I read maybe half of it and went, jeez, this is going on. I figure I'd just be getting to the end of it. The end of it in the end of it, this gobbledygook never got there. So I just scrolled down to the end and read the last paragraph and went, oh, well, that's interesting.
Is that the whole chapter? Ion, I didn't notice it. Did you put the whole chapter in?
No, actually, many chapters.
I don't know about that. It's long, but I don't know. I'll have to check that page numbers. Very good, though. Okay, if you guys can't come up with anything, I'll go to the beach. Keep me entertained, or we're going.
I think the space is over.
Wait, Carol. I do have something.
Before you do that, somebody, I think Guru had one more question before they went.
Mm-hmm.
Guru?
Yeah, I have one more.
All right, hit it.
All right, here we go. Back when on the unrecorded portion, you were talking about seeing the 111, the 222, and the 333 in the digital space, and you were mentioning that is what it shows, that you have traveled to another world and you came back.
It can be.
It can have other meanings also then.
Well, that's a rule. That's the Tina boy, the girl, you go. She can run this pony. This is good. If it's not a rule, then not necessarily. But if you enjoy it and embrace it, then yeah, no problem. It's no problem.
Yeah, that was the pattern that I thought applied to me. It was my rule. I said, oh, I keep seeing 22 because that's a sign to me that I've come back.
Correct. And that's okay. That's okay, but that's not the... And then they had a different dichotomy about the individual worlds, that they thought the worlds had numbers. So can Bob only go to world 22 and back? No. Yeah. It's just his thing. With Sheila, it could be paints or colors. Or shapes. With Chad, it's all about individual symbols that stack up, that set up his Victrola, or it'll actually be the jukebox, of which 45, which world he's going to. Because see, what you find, there's no limitations to this process. And since there's no limitations to this process, then you can have a jukebox full of worlds that you go to, and you learn quickly how to dial up which song you want to listen to. And if it's Wanda Jackson with a little rockabilly, that's all right. Or if it's a little, Gaga, you can just dial up what you want. Well, the same way that you can with your boob tube pick a tune, you can with your symbology, if that's what you want to use. It's different from other people. Some people it's smell. Some people it's geography. That's geography. Some people do it from different things, and it's just where they are and what works well for them, and we ain't pushing against the first one of them. But in that place, then you'll start having your repertoire of worlds that you've engaged and enjoy. And there might be a world you prefer over another world. And when that's the case, you damn sure want to remember which one that was. Okay?
And what symbol was connected to it.
Exactly. And you don't need the symbol to go. You just require the symbol to get back.
Okay.
Going ain't the trouble.
Getting
back. Okay.
Yeah, Edgar Allan Poe
couldn't get back.
I've seen two ways that I believe of my jumping, and that's a few symbols that illuminate, such as like the lightning bolt.
Yep.
That has been with me for years, and I have a lot of connected memories to that one.
Okay, Guru, let's ask, is that an indication when he sees that he's come back from a parallel world? No, that's an example for him to get back to the work, to this world from when he goes there.
Okay, yeah, I'm thinking that I get back and then I notice the number. He's using it to get, I'm like on the, am I using the 22 to get back?
No. That's just letting you know you've gone somewhere.
Right, where he used a symbol to get back.
That's correct. And that's a symbol that's been with him for a long time that he uses to recognize. And that symbol, when he sees it, it always shows up shinier than other objects. So once they start to be a symbol, they'll continually shine and show up more brightly than any other symbol or thing. You could be in a pitch black room and a lightning bolt will be on something and it'll be brighter than anything else.
So when he sees it, he's on the way back.
No, Bob. He uses that to get back.
That's what I mean. He's on the way back.
No, Bob. You're the only one.
Okay, quiet. Yeah. Where is he when he notices it? Has he arrived back here?
Neither.
Where is he?
And wherever he is in this plane. Just the symbols don't mean you have to go, Bob. That's just if you go, those are the important symbols that remind you that's how you get back to here.
Yeah, and I'm asking, what is the what experience has he had when he sees that?
No experience.
You haven't even begun, Guru.
No, well, we didn't say that.
It's a joke, Guru.
He's not crossing the 22 thing that doesn't know where he is now. At least he knows where he is now, Bob. That's a way good place to start. If you know where you are, to know where you come from. So that's a good place.
We'll see.
Okay. One of the lightning bolts is a symbol for you, Guru. Okay, there's some others. What are they?
I see the 111. I see the 4-1s. I've seen these like every day. Last 2 weeks after you answered a question on the radio, now do you have I remember you mentioned you see that if you come back after that point, then you can remember what you did.
Yes, but if you come back before you left, your mind has a rule that says that hadn't taken place yet. So then you can't allow yourself to remember it.
See, how do you ease into coming back after?
Okay, you also use your symbols. You also use your symbols to line that up for you. And from in a place of intention, if you're going to go traveling, no problem. Some people got to do it a little bit to get their feet wet, but they ain't nobody hurt. It's okay. You can do it a few times just to make sure you're not going to offend the labyrinth of your mind, because you will not allow yourself to usurp your rules, however vaguely entrenched. Okay? Now, once that comes into play, then you can notice, sync it up. So you go, and you notice when, before you leave, the proximity of where your time is. Okay? If it's evening, or dark, or morning, or afternoon, just basically kind of notice where you are in your day. So, if that's the case, then you can sync that up to come back just a little bit after that. For example, if you've got to pick the kids up or something, and you go into another world, you want to be back in time to pick them up. But you don't want to come back before you left, because then you won't recall where you went. But it's not a problem, because you can go, spend a week, come back, and still be right on time to pick up the babies. No problem. And you'll know that from your place, not from that world you're in, but from your place or position that you were in when you left.
The position here when you left here to go somewhere else.
Yes. But now it gets even more fun with that. Because of this duality in this position, you can bump into having several of you. So you can be getting busy somewhere in another world having great fun and have the other one of you pick up the babies.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So you can be in New York and at your house and in Maui all at the same time.
Yeah, so you're completing what we not talked about the 3JWs last week. Now we're getting a little more about it. So it's relevant. But I still don't get why. What does he use as symbols? What'd you say?
That's because Guru ushered the very best of the best.
Right, but why? What is Guru? When do the symbols come in handy for him?
When he's trying to come back, Bob.
And he's in the other world when he sees them?
No, he's in this world when he sees them.
So he's come back when he sees them?
Bob. The symbols don't mean, just because you have a key in your hand doesn't mean you have to lock or unlock the door. This is just the key. It's just your place of noticing. He can then, because those symbols keep showing up to him, anytime he goes through a portal, because they're all open now, then he can easily use those same symbols to come back. But you're the one that had the 22 that says, because I see 22, I'm going or coming or coming or going or going or coming. No one else on the planet has said that. You said that. And that's okay for you. But because it works for you doesn't mean that it absolutely works for everybody else. Because if that's the case, every time Sheila stretched a new canvas and squirted out some of her funky color paint, every time she saw that paint, that would be saying she'd been in another world and coming back. No. But that particular combination that she mixes up, if she gets in another world and decides she wants to come back to this world, oh, wait, she's not really in this world now. She would be in her old world or get back. If she wants to go back to the world she was in before, okay, she can mix up that paint, see that paint, and that'll remind her, and then she can go back of thinking up where she's going to. So it's you can, people do it.
Okay, look, I brought this point up. I didn't say it applied to anybody else. I wanted to show how subtle the traveling is.
Great, but you're now using the subtleness of your
traveling. Now, I wasn't using your development. I'm just trying, I got a handle on what I said about myself, but what is, I'm trying to figure out how Guru uses it.
Well, Guru doesn't, it's not, doesn't mean the same thing to Guru. Guru,
yeah, and I'm trying to find out what you, well, Guru, what do you say he means? What did you get from this? What are the symbols?
Well, the symbols are like markers. So, like when I'm, the thing is that now that I've been talking and listening and I did the reading with Ion, I'm recognizing that I'm traveling through the portals faster and quicker than more than I've ever done.
Yeah.
And so. Now, those are just markers of, like, you know.
Markers of like, what? That you've been somewhere? Or that you're
direction. Direction. How to get around.
Yeah.
How to get there.
Yeah, it's like
Bob,
a,
you
like
use
a
direction to get you to the ice cream shop. Okay? Now, those aren't parallel worlds. That's just how you get there.
Oh, so those are directions. Okay.
Okay. Well, then he's using the symbols, the markers, as he said, perfect words, to navigate the worlds. He's using his signposts or directions when he does go to other worlds to be able to get back to here.
Yeah, and since I don't know where I am or what I'm doing, I just use it to find out that I did it.
You got to have a 22 show up to say that you were even out of sync of where you were.
Yeah.
That's right. But he doesn't do it that way. Neither one are right or wrong, good or bad.
Right.
It's just a bit subtle, as you pointed out, Bob, is a subtle difference from what you know as reality that can be enjoyed in, here's first time ever, that can be enjoyed in multi-realms at the same time within the context of multi-worlds.
Right.
Now, boy, chew on that in a little bit.
That's a good one. Now, Ion, unless Guru has something else to say, he probably doesn't. What do you say, Guru? Is that it?
No, that's it.
Okay.
That's it.
If we're going to end, it ends like this. McLuhan had what he called the tetrad. Okay, so in the tetrad, he'd look at a new technology and see that it created a new environment. So the environment that computers created in the 80s, 90s was something humans hadn't experienced before because they didn't have computers. But when you bring a new computer, a new technology, a new environment in, it obsolesces the previous environment that everybody was involved in before, but now it's kind of old hat. And at the same time, it retrieves an older environment, an older technology that was obsolesced a long time ago, and it's an ancient obsolescence thing, and it gets retrieved because it resonates with the new environment that the new technology created. So McLuhan's example was the automobile retrieves the shining knight in armor. Okay, so the knight's going around with a big shield, and, you know, 800 years ago. We retrieve the knight aspect, the mobility with the shield around you, in the form of a car. So it's not exactly a knight, but it's the knight retrieved in new form. And then when this environment is being used by everybody, what it provides will turn into a disservice. It will flip into its opposite characteristics. So, you know, computers become a headache for most people after they got their word processor in the 80s, and then by the 95 or 100, 2000, they're just sick of all the email. So you got this process of a new technology enhances a situation, it creates a new thing that no one foresaw, then it obsolesces what was recently the best thing. It retrieves something from way back, and brings it in as a complementary. You could say in the 20th century, the electric environment retrieved a new awareness of the ancient occult stuff. And then the new technology becomes a disservice. Okay, so I just want to put this on the record. I realize that this tetrad, this four-part process, is actually what goes on in Lost, Thriller, 24, Flash Forward, all these thriller detective stories. If you notice, just the recent Fringe, it ends with the other Walter showing up, who we've never seen in the whole show, really, in all the years, but he suddenly shows up in this world to recover his own son that the other Walter, the main Walter, took. So we knew there was this other Walter, and he's in one show about 1985, but we don't see him, I don't think. But that little thing got retrieved. So the principles of writing a story in Hollywood or anywhere is you create a drama, a new situation, that's like a new technology. It obsolesces the comfort place everybody was at, and then it'll retrieve some dynamics, and then it'll flip into a problem or a solution. But it's the retrieval aspect, and this is what happens in Lost. Right now we're waiting for the next show. We're going to probably, who has been missing for a couple of shows? Richard Alpert. He's going to show up in the showdown between John Locke and Jack Shepard. You watch. Don't tell us anything about it. But I'm just, this little pattern. Watch Richard, who hasn't been around for several weeks. He's something that we've forgotten about. He got obsolesced, but he's going to become retrieved. And then it'll be a surprise element. It's interesting for me that the tetrad that McLuhan applied to sociology and what societies, the changes societies go through, it's actually the method of writing a detective thriller that Edgar Allan Poe invented, where you have a situation, and then you have some things that the people, as they read along the story, forget about, and then they're retrieved later in the story as a dramatic surprise. And then it flips into maybe a resolution. So, that whole thing just caused all this noise.
Hello?
Okay, yes.
Yeah, I know it's late, and I know you guys have... You've been on all day. I've been at work all day. This is Deborah.
Yeah?
I just wanted to know, let you know that I've been enjoying this show. The little, I only listened for a half an hour. But I did want to ask a question. I think I'll just hold it till next week.
Yeah, what happened, Deborah, is we did 4 hours, and then it turned out it wasn't being, the computer had gone off because I hadn't plugged in the Energizer or whatever, and so it just went dead, so we missed the recording. So there's 4 hours gone. It was probably the best 4 hours we'll ever get, and so it remains a privilege to those who saw it. But you had to be there kind of thing, and then now we're doing a couple hours when we fixed up the taping, so... It was a 6-hour
show.
Yeah,
I work till 7 o'clock Mountain Time. So.
Well, quit your job.
Well, this is what I wanted to know, and I wanted to ask about, what is the IMC that I need to do?
But Deborah, what you learned from Ion is that any question about what should I do, what do you see, it's always up to you. So Ion's irrelevant in those
just
questions.
Relax and allow and let it flow.
Relax and allow, and probably make us little. What? Someone said something.
Come on, Bob.
Okay, so, anyways, I thought it would all be a profound insight, the tetrad applied to fiction making. You create a drama.
That is a profound.
Yeah. If you look at the McLuhan, the big thing for me is here's a sociological tetrad, but it actually could be a model for how you write fiction. I mean, basically, you create a new environment. You know, someone gets killed, it upsets everything, obsolesces the comfort zone the people are in. Then a detective comes in and starts looking around for events, and it's always things that you retrieved. And then it flips into, I'm not sure, it flips into a resolution or a worse situation. And you'll see all of the detective stories are that. I mean, in Lost... that you forgot about Desmond for many weeks, and all of a sudden he's brought back. You see, that's a simple retrieval point, is how you write this stuff.
So, in applying this concept that you just explained, how do you want to apply that to this new technology that we're experiencing
with Ion
here?
Yeah, Ion retrieves ancient experience. The obsolescence, science and religion and everything that industrial society brought in. And it flips into me taking you guys through the black holes and then coming back. That's the cult aspect here. That's the cult aspect. That's the Moses role that Ion assigned me a year ago, and that's a secret agenda. We're all going to jump off the Grand Wilaya Hotel here and sail through space and come back. When we're good at it, you know. After we can surf 40-foot waves. We'll practice by surfing 40-foot waves.
Hey, then you can longboard it like me and me.
Yeah. Me and me will be my right-hand man in that project. We better get him a reading fast. Anyways, you can... Tina, the tetrad applies to how your normal cognition goes. You're living in a moment, we're doing this, we forgot what happened 15 minutes ago, and then as we go for the next 10 minutes, then someone will remember something and retrieve what we forgot, just because it'll be their association will come up with it. And it'll flip into a new insight that was nowhere predictable at this point when we started. You see what I mean? That's how memory works.
Much like the we just experienced that several times, the meaning of, what's his name?
Yeah, what's his name? He's in the obsolescence phase.
Before the name of that king, you know.
Yeah, Mel kissed my dick.
And I had to go and retrieve it because I actually had to go find the paper under the sofa in order to bring it back into our present now.
Right. So Tina, here's how it relates to technology per se, the old technology. The fact that I didn't tape it flipped us into a new situation where we got the essence of what Chad and Angela were trying to tell us. Quickly replayed for Guru. So we actually replayed the first 4 hours very nice and concise for a 2-hour thing that people can listen to this week.
Right. Interesting.
So we created a new environment when it was disconnected. Then we came in, we started over again. And we retrieved the things from naturally, we didn't know we'd retrieve, but retrieve some of the themes, and then we present them in a new way.
Right, right. I see exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. And then it flipped into me saying, describing this process, which, you know, is the opposite of getting insights from my aunt.
So we can then also apply this concept to our own personal experience.
Yeah, your flow of your, the flow of your, McCone called the drama of cognition or the stages of apprehension. You notice, that's the way your mind works. You're involved, right now we're involved in listening to me, and then someone else will talk, so that what I said will fade off, be obsolete, and then suddenly Deborah will come in and say something, oh, that's what Bob said 10 minutes ago. You know, he should retrieve that, and it comes in. And then all of it leads to a new pattern.
This is that stitching yep. together thing?
Yep. It's a seamless web that's moving. And, you know, probably this four-part yep. process is what quantum physics is trying to get at. And it's all, in all yep. mysticism is the fourfold process. Just McLuhan discovered, he took Hegelian dialectic and brought in the retrieval aspect. That's the new thing that was
right.
discovered.
Right.
And that fits, that to me personally, that fits a lot of what Ion says. As a matter of fact, it fits so much I begin to think that Ion's just channeling me, you know, my personal awareness of the food.
Yeah, I get the same stuff.
Well, good. How's that working for you, Bob?
Great. Fantastic.
And so this retrieval of...
And then flipping... Here's the other thing. Basically, the tetrad flips into its opposite, which is in Chinese philosophy, the chiasmus. Every cultures all the way through noticed that things will flip into their opposite when you do it too much. You know, love, Eros flips into sore, S-O-R-E. Eros, E-R-O-S, flips into sore. Live flips into evil. Devil flips into lived. See, it's right in the language. So this flip part, many cultures have noticed it. It's almost another variation of yin-yang. But the retrieval thing in the middle is a discovery of the 20th century. Because we've had so much stuff, so many transitions, that we've noticed things being retrieved. Whereas slower societies wouldn't notice any retrievals.
Mm. Wow. No wonder Carolyn has stayed with you all these years. You are so entertaining.
Yeah, Carolyn. He's got it, Carolyn. That's exactly the reason. That's all I am, is entertaining. No other reason
to hang out with you. Did you notice on 24 that Jack Bauer has no rules?
Yeah, that...
He has no... Rule number one, there are no rules.
That's right, and he pushes everything. He's actually acting all the time. Like, the whole drama with Dana, when he threatened her life, was 3, 2, 1! And then he tells Cole later that he faked it. You don't know if Jack really faked it.
Oh, no, that lying bastard.
this show is pretty good. I never watched it previous years, but this is. I can't wait till next week. What do you think he's going to do, Ed? I mean, it's going to be a standoff between him, Taylor, and Logan, because he got the phone number of Logan now.
Well, I think they should take the president and string her up.
Well, what about Logan?
Just hang her in a public square.
Well, what about Logan? What about President Charles Logan?
Well, they're the obvious villains, but I think the president should go. Well, he used to be president, right?
Yeah. So, but you think Alison Taylor is really screwed up?
Hell yeah. We should keep pushing this damn, in quotation marks, peace.
Oh, okay. Now, that's the tetrads right in that show. You know how they show the four parts? Are you still with us, Ion?
Yeah.
Okay, bear with me. The four screens, you know, as they each come into each section, the four parts. They're showing a tetrad. It's exactly how McLuhan showed it. You have the industrial mechanism represented by President Taylor. You have the robot citizens of the industrial mechanism, the police and cops and all the soldiers. And then you have the individual rogue guy, which the electric technology allows. That's Jack Bauer. And there's probably another factor, but you can look at, it's like my chart, the four quadrants. There's four actions, four institutional memes going on. Individual initiative and honesty, Jack Bauer. President Taylor representing industrial slow management to get a global balanced world government situation, right? Fitting the nation into that. So you must all be worried, you must all work towards national peace and peace in the Middle East. And then you have the the individual who's the opposite of Jack, like Logan, who's an individual initiative guy who takes the corrupt way. He hijacks the industrial. He's trying to go along with the peace mandate of the industrial mandate of America and the Middle East, and he's going to develop it for his own purposes. Jack is taking the freedom of America, individual initiative, and he's not concerned about the industrial mass level that President Taylor is justifiably concerned about, because you do have that industrial environment. And then there is the computer stuff, you know, Chloe and everybody, the electric digital world going around all of them that's surveilling everything, and those people are surveilling, which is the chip landscape, and there's problems there, and they're up. So you got the chip surveillance, you got the old industrial peace mandate, you got the corrupt individual, and then the who uses his telephone to go around the big industrial stuff, and Jack Bauer does his individual stuff. So basically, see what I'm getting at? There's four historical structural dynamics in conflict there, and none of them is totally right. That's where the tension comes. You get that, Ed? So whoever said, I think it was you, anybody there?
No, yeah. We've all gone to the beach.
Okay.
JW.
No, but when
Ion mentioned something about JW needing to eat after 9 hours, so I'd like you to let him go.
Oh, when did he say that?
Oh, come on.
I didn't hear that. When was that?
Let's go.
Okay, so Ed, when you complain about Mrs. Taylor, or Miss Taylor, whatever, wanting should be hung up, you're taking the individualist, non-industrial view of her, but she has an important role. I mean, there is a whole structure. Now, all of that stuff.
I take the side of her advisor.
Yeah, the dropout guy, the Secretary of Defense. Yeah, that whatever he was, Secretary of State.
He
bowed out, which had so.
No. Her advisor, the one that had the heart attack.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. He was the
Ethan.
Secretary.
That's Ethan.
Yeah, Ethan. And he takes the integrity role in terms of. Don't bring in peace on corrupt foundations. Whereas Allison is there, no, we're going to have peace no matter what foundations are there. Every position is a weak position in this drama. So what the resolution of it, whoever's going to win or whatever, that'll be the bias of the Hollywood makers. Let's say Jack wins, Allison gets screwed and all that. It doesn't mean Allison's wrong if you have an ecological view of what's happening. But all that I'm saying right now is all obsolesced by the thinning of the veil. So this is rearview mirror entertainment. You get what I'm saying? That the thinning of the veil.
The television program.
What?
Is rearview the rearview entertainment is the television?
Yeah. Us watching this drama.
Yeah,
the whole drama of 24 is probably relevant up to about 1982.
Hmm.
And that was when there was Dr. Beter laid out the final big, you know, September 17th.
Beter.
He started it all. It was Dr. Beter when he came to JW and said, hey, Santa Bob, you know, a few days before March 18th, that's what triggered it off, that I thought that was the Evergreens. So, all right.
Well, hopefully Jack will expose some of those organic robotoids.
Yes, yep.
Well, that's all. They're all hit at CTU. That's how they got it crossways to start with.
Excellent. Okay, we give Ion the last word. Thanks, everybody. Sorry it isn't a longer recording.
Okay, did everybody get their emails now? They were all constipated, but they should be opened up now.
You were emailing some of the members here while we were talking?
We had to know that, yes, they had to get, they were all clogged up. So it couldn't undone because you put the tag on everything and we had to clean all that up. So all that tag business is gone, so y'all just play now.
Are you talking about at the forum?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were saying you were emailing us while we were talking to you now.
We had to clean up because when you put the tags up, it blocked everybody, so they were bouncing. And
the stickies caused a problem.
Everybody was screaming, yeah. So... We got it. We had to get all that mess cleaned out.
I didn't know. Steve probably should have done it. But what? The sticky caused a problem? Jeez.
Yeah, it blocked all everybody's private messages.
Oh, so maybe Steve had not organized it to allow for a sticky, and then I stick it in it. Oh, I see. Sorry about that.
It's all falling away.
One of the issues.
Did everybody get their stuff now?
Yeah, so Ion, should I tell Steve? Does he have to do anything, or you fixed it?
It's all done. Ain't nothing to do, Bob. Did everybody get their messages? That's the question.
Well, ask Tina, yeah. I guess.
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, Tina did. And Sister Cecilia.
All is well. Yeah.
Good, because that's all on point. It is all on point. But here's how you go. You're just going to have to take it by the balls. That's what, if you want something, get a hold of it. And if something else is in your way, you grab it by the testes just hard enough, and they'll squeal like a girl, and they'll get slapped out of your way. That's how you handle that. Every single time, without fail or exception.
Are you referring to posting?
I'm talking about everything. You get what, it's all about what you want. If you're getting what you want, great.
Well, I disagree with you, Ian. I'm a nice guy. I ain't going to grab anybody. I'm a nice guy. I let them rock over me. I get it that way.
Yeah. How does the crew feel about that?
There's no crew here. The rest of them. Okay, how do the rest of you feel about that? They all went away, I guess.
I like it. I like hearing taking what you want.
You're the biggest tweezer we got.
I was wondering if Tina or somebody would notice that. Very good, Tina. You win the final prize.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. Because, Steve, when you get a whole bunch of marvelous creators together, they don't have any problem getting their point. See? And so you just got to push your way to the place you're next. And it may be you let one or so go ahead of that, but then after that, go, no, I'm up. And you're so genteel and kind. Don't worry about that. Push through. We'll call it out if we have to. We'll shut it down and just make it a one-on-one-y if you want to. But that's not the point. The point is, as we all engage in your place that you like to have engagement, some people like to stay in back, in the back. Ed will listen for days and then have a question. He don't want to be up front. He does this all the time.
But I'll be sure I get my question in.
That's right. That's exactly correct. And line it up in the most conducive flow as there's a cadence built within the interaction. But if their cadence is off a little bit, it'll be that they're always stepping over you if you're not careful. So that's how you realign and relax and allow, and then you get to be, then the statement will be, well, excuse me, you can't be first, but you can be next. You see? And then that'll work out perfectly. But it's just a feeling place. It's a feeling place. But if you get all wounded, then that's the best you can get is wounded.
Yeah, did Renee show up? She's not here.
We've just been busting a gut to get her mirror her window going, and she hadn't called. So
okay, I just want to say that partly the alibi for the computer is that we're missing a computer here. We're a bit weak, so we'll get it back soon. But that's why we only had one computer and screwed up.
Oh, it didn't screw up. It was a
good
perfect
job.
Now folks will be like, oh, my God, I better get in there because there's no promise that this is going to be available.
That's right. You're going to quit your job. This is way more important than your job. Renee's going to have to quit her job and get here because we're all here. Be here. Be square.
Yeah.
This is my job.
That's right. There you go. When you do the job that you love, it's never work. Ed's only work is weeding.
I love the bee.
Did you say this is your job? Did someone say that? This is my job?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
this is my job, Bob.
Yeah, you're making work for us.
Great. Your flow is very, very, very delicious, Ed. It's great, great work.
You mean the website? The website or Ed or both?
Yeah. Yes, because he makes space for everybody. He doesn't just, you know, he'll let even some of the, he'll even let Ion on there. So, hell, everybody's got a chance.
Well, you know, traffic has picked up since we put that image of Bob on there.
Well, sure, of course.
Now they know what I look like. Yeah, I haven't got many days left, Ed, now that I'm visible.
Well, they think that's Walter's, so they're not sure who it really is.
Oh, okay, good.
All right, speak up.
Ed, I was just curious.
curious, because you have quite a few interviews off of the Camelot site, if Carrie or Bill have, actually, well, I just wonder if Carrie and Bill have come on to cash flow and our calls and stuff from Camelot. Or are you in contact with them at all?
Oh, absolutely not. Well, if you noticed, there, we did a contrast. Carrie just put up an interview with the fellows out at the Giza Pyramid who were reporting on the stolen artifacts, and that was a big video that she put up in audio. So above that, we put Ion's take on that.
On the pyramids, yeah, and the treasures there, right. That was good.
Exactly, and at the beginning of that, the question, James was reading, I believe it was Alan, his question, and Alan mentioned Project Camelot. He said, in the recent video with Project Camelot, and right. Ion responded to that, he mentioned Project Camelot as well.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to get a lot of, like I said, response from individuals who consider this a real alternative to the news, the so-called news that you would see on the regular media. So yes. They really appreciate Ion's comments on these points.
Certainly going to cut down on some of the suicides.
That's right, it's positive. So here, we just on a tetrad here, Ed. We've been talking about cash flow, and we pushed it to extreme and flipped into Project Camelot.
Yeah.
We're ending with that.
And we appreciate their work now. We're not saying that. We do appreciate their work because you can't be testicularly challenged in taking on some of the things that they do. So, you know, you got to be really open to it or you wouldn't last long enough to even find out. So we appreciate the contrast because it is engaging. And we just love this the hypnotist lady. Oh, the
Dolores Cannon.
We just love her. She's just as sweet as she can be. Can't stand her words, but oh, she's so sweet. It's wonderful.
You know, Ion says he's here to complete the cosmic awareness, the evergreens, the Abrahams, and everything else. And we're here. Cashflow is here to complete Project Camelot.
Well, how did that Camelot thing work out anyway?
Not so good. It just spins you around in a circle, which, you know, it's interesting. I mean, they're bringing up a lot of different subjects and stuff, but, well,
it's interesting.
It doesn't get you anywhere.
Tina, I watched on Ed's thing, he had the interview with her. I've seen a couple of their interviews with Bill Deagle, but her story was interesting, how she came to be what she's doing, you know, out of Hollywood.
Right.
And
right.
But it's all coming. It's basically making you worry. This is the first time in centuries something's shown up to sort of give people a release mechanism or a solution or an answer. And it's all pretty common sense.
It gets you off the merry-go-round.
Yeah, gets you off the spinning squirrel cage.
Right. What's interesting is that the website, the forum website's not loading anymore.
You can't get on it.
The URL is not valid and cannot be loaded.
For the resonant node?
Yeah, not physical.
So maybe it's all screwed up. Put the stickies in. But they're probably hacking everything.
Oh, yes, Lord. That's right. It's them space Jews.
Yes.
It is.
They found out about it.
They make the Samaritan Hebrewloids. They've come to take you over, Bob. That's what it is. We knew it was something. We just didn't know what.
Well,
I mean, it could just be my connection to it all because I'm...
Okay, let me go there. I'll just right now, I'll click on this and I'll see if I can get on.
Should be good now, Tina time.
Okay, it's gone. Let's see. It's
there you go. Yeah, it just started working.
Oh, you're doing it? Yeah, it looks. Yeah, I got in, Tina, so it's your computer.
No, she's in now. She can go.
No,
I'm in. Thanks,
oh,
Wyatt.
There you go.
No, I didn't fix it. Okay, good.
Why, of course.
Hi, Chief.
You see, that's where Ian completes everything. You know, Kelly or whatever her name is at Project Camelot, she can't fix Tina's computer on the air while we're doing it.
fix. It must be broke. That's it.
Okay, massage, tweet. You tweak it.
Yeah, that's right. Tweak.
Well, guys, thanks for showing up. Make another great show.
Yep.
Or as Ian said,
thank you very much.
As Ian said, a great shoe.
Stay welcome.
See you.
Yeah. Enjoy all the audio goodies at HowIonic.com if they work for you.
That's right. We love you, Pammy. Hope and tell Buddha we said hey.
Is she still here?
Well, it's for her mark.
All right. Okay, guys. Thank you, Ion. Maybe we should return you. Okay. Do you want to return, JW?
We are returning. Therefore, we are eternally and completely and deliciously and happily engaging with all you marvelous, wonderful human creators in this delicious path as you continually increase and embrace your power as a marvelous creator. A standard, a living God on this planet called Earth and all the other worlds you'd like to enjoy, to conquer and embrace every realm of reality that is in the furthest reaches of your dynamics of any imbued potential thought, even contrasting, that you get to sort, sieve, figure out, play, replay, joy, enjoy, that's with an I. Completely, eternally, forever, we are deliciously love to play. Well.
Is it dark out?
It is. It's not even the same day.
Well, we went a long time. We went, 8 o'clock? 10 hours?
Oh, well, that's not so bad.
Yeah, let me see. Is it? Yeah, it's up to, 8 o'clock. That's 10 hours?
11.
No, 8 till 6 for my time. So 8 to 12 is 4 and 6. 10 hours.
Unless you started early in another world, Tina.
No, Tina, subtract your time, baby. You may have a different outcome. You can't go by Bob time. Bob time will help you.
Started at 2 o'clock. Eastern time.
Okay.
So I guess it is 10 hours. So
what happened, JW, is the first 4 hours didn't get taped. It was being taped, but then my computer ran out and then it went dead, and then you can't get out of it unless you click it off. So we lost the first 4 hours, but it was probably, some of it probably should have been lost. It was too close to confidentiality.
Wagon.
What?
Too close to the meat wagon?
Yes. That one you're just hearing.
Uh-huh.
You hear that, Tina? The siren? The meat wagon going
on? Yeah. Yeah, I do.
So is it just Tina? And did Guru and everybody and Ed go?
Guru's here.
Good. You should always hang out. Never leave, because you never, you got an extra weight. Even when we hang up, Guru, stay on in case something happens.
And if y'all get lonesome, you can get naked and come to my bedroom anytime. Y'all always will.
Chad, hey.
Yeah, you have to get in line.
No, there's lots of room. It's not a problem. It'll be all right. Just don't disturb the missus and you'll be all right. Well, very good. Well, my stomach could swear that my throat's been cut.
Well, we got session tomorrow at 4 p.m. for you.
Okay, very, very good. All right, just like Gordon Solie on the WWF, don't miss it, be there.
Yep. Well, thanks for showing up, guys. You guys make it happen.
All right. Thanks again so very much. Have a great, great morning.
You too, JW.
All right. You too, JW.
I ran out of questions months ago.
Yeah, that's right. I'm only still asking because I forgot.
Any pictures, words,
JW? Oh, yeah, any pictures, JW?
Oh, wow. There's lots. What in the hell are y'all doing with Fort Hood?
The flood bath.
Fort Hood. Slowly I turn. Okay, there's a great deal of pictures, paintings.
Are you still here, Sheila?
She may have run out of battery.
Ran out of batteries. She may have died, didn't make it. Died of starvation in the desert.
It's all right.
The long marathons.
A great deal of movement. A great deal of movement on the Dow.
Yep. Some we more. Did that.
No, some more.
You're predicting some more?
No, that's the picture.
Yeah.
Some more. Okay. The pineal gland.
Yep.
And a whole lot of that stuff. I don't know what about it, but the pineal gland. Great deal of balancing. It's almost like do y'all know what cotton scales are?
Yeah.
You do? Does anybody else know what a cotton scale is?
You weigh the cotton?
Yeah. It's a hanging thing that it'll take large weights, and then you have a bouncing off of a little hook that basically can give you a weight. But they call them cotton scales. Well, these are gold cotton scales. You know, and you can slide the weight on the end after you hang it and put the bale of cotton on it. And it'll take a lot of weight to balance, but these are gold cotton scales.
Huh. Yeah, that's the balancing thing that ASA Scott was talking about. We had an argument about balance and whether to balance or not.
Well, then let's see what's going on with cotton futures. Mm. If that's in the balance.
I recall, I think I mentioned cotton the other day.
Oh, your new big pictures on your platinum, palladium, and a whole bunch of stuff on Carolyn's thing.
Yeah.
Platinum, palladium.
Yeah.
Little bit of chromosome 14. A lot of intricate things dealing with individuals attaching positions to their place. Meaning, it would be, to say that easy, it's a whole lot of rules and regulations, but it's always from a position point of folks trying to give their position and validate their position from their placement. And that's, of course, invoking rules, which never serves them well, but that seems like a great, like you're talking to the teller at the window when they got the Lexan between you and them, and they can't hear what you're saying.
Right, no, that happened in the first hours.
A good deal of that with us, you know, they can see everything, but you can't hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Ed, your squash are doing well. I mean, are you going to eat all that? I mean, who eats all that?
Oh, I eat it all.
Ed, there's no way possible you could eat all that.
When you're not getting filled up with pig, you have a lot more room for veggies.
Ah, well, we still suggest you take on some of them chickens. That couldn't hurt. Could not hurt. Me and me's got a he's waxing his board.
Mm-hmm.
Is he still here, or did he
no.
go?
No.
Okay, and Michael. There's a picture of Michael.
You mean me and me?
His brother. His twin brother.
Hmm.
And the picture of Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
That's Tammy's dog.
Yeah.
Oh, and you got the bacon for Jake. Look at you, girl.
Yeah.
How about them crackers?
Jake likes bacon.
He does. We all like bacon.
Jump for joy, Jake.
Jump for joy, Jake. That's right. That's right. And... I think in Scott's elbow.
Okay. And we don't know which Scott you mean, but maybe ASA Scott?
We don't know.
Okay.
Scott and
yeah.
elbow. Like tennis elbow.
If you find any
Earl.
More, just
Earl.
Just call
Earl.
Me.
Earl.
Oh, Earl?
Earl.
Yeah, he was mentioned. I called out to him the first of the show on Cashflow.
When you get to, when you have your chat, tell him we said hey.
Okay. And if you get any other pictures, Bob, if he's in a good mood, you'll send them to Bob and he'll send them on to all of you.
Yeah. Or we could just have Ion put it on the private message.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We got a lot of time there. Yeah.
So that's good. So wonderful. Thank you all so much. We enjoyed the playing. It's great fun. We really do appreciate it.
Right.
From the bottom of my little old creating heart.
Yeah. That's never been said before.
Notice this.
Hey, JW, you're recovered from your little fall or big fall?
Oh yeah, took all of about a day, and I was cooked. Well, no, it didn't take that long because I think they didn't Ion come back last week. I don't know.
Yeah,
but,
he did.
I was gone, but I slept it off real good, and I've been hitting
right.
on all cylinders ever since.
Good.
But I did learn one thing real significant: is that 2x16 don't heal.
Mm. That's the stuff on the floor?
No, those are the boards that the house is kind of propped on.
You said they don't give.
They don't give. If you bump, you cram your head into one of them, they won't give.
<There's>
oh. They don't
oh.
give. But I did find out that I have a great propensity for bouncing, though, however. That's I did know. All is very, very well. And, oh, and one little sidebar, which is kind of great fun, is they called the service people to come and look to see to make sure that this non-physical being wasn't going to burn the joint down or whatever. And they were absolutely astounded at the way it was repaired. It was truss supported, attached, and sealed in such a way, they said it was incredible. There was nothing to do, nothing to adjust, that it was better than they could have done if they were putting it together.
That's the air conditioner pipe.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And the service people came out just to make sure, you know. Well, that and the drywall people to fix the shower for the ladder went through the roof of the party shower. So. And busy, busy, busy around here in our little contrasting world. But
they were impressed at Ion's handiwork.
Oh, it was. That was. They couldn't. They were amazed. They said it was. It was great. And I was like, good, good, good. My kind of trouble. But so far, so good. But always wonderful. Well, and getting well-er.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, JW.
Well-er.
Yes.
All right.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Yes, y'all have a great morning.
Yes. We'll have a great morning.
Yeah, we'll come back when we can stay longer.
Okay.
Good
thanks
night.
Much. Thanks much. Yes. Okay, guys, I'll see you guys in the future, in the past, the now that's already happening.
All right. That sounds good.
Okay, talk for now.
Yes. I'll see you on the... Hey, Guru, what do you think of the forum? Have you looked at it?
I looked at it a few times, and I like it. I'm going to check it out a little more this week.
Yeah, what you...
I like some of the...
Yeah, take a look at the... You know, there's like 1,500 posts total, and half 800 are ions.
All right, I definitely will take a look at ion posts.
Yep. Okay, see you guys later.
All right, see you later.
Bye.
See you, everybody, later.